It is Big Sav. It's 10 o'clock in the Lone Star State. It's about that time for Nefertiti surviving the game on Real Nigga Radio. Can you survive?
Hey.
Yeah, y'all. Yeah, y'all.
You're on point fight.
Once again, Tip.
You're on point fight.
Once again, Tip.
You're on point fight.
Once again, Tip. Watch me bust they shit.
Okay.
My rhymes are harder than last night's erection. Don't blame it close, I have this mic up in your midsection. My shit is love, simply meaning that my joint is tight. Amping up the mic, making sure production's tight. Sometimes I might catch a severe case of writer's rider, but by the end of the day, you'll be on my job. Real name's Malik, my hobby's putting MC to the test. And if you run, I'll put my foot up in your friggin' chest. Freestyle fanatic, and never will it ever stop. Your crew is this, you might just wanna call the cops.
Hey yo, I gotta put some action on paper. Make sure my verse jump off the spread out like the raper. The only tip I got for a waiter is watch the doorknob hit me where the dirty door should have hit me. That was my train of thought, but for so long I fought. Now I'm at a level supreme to the devil. So turn off the bass and lay low on the devil. We be the real team, we dead dirty devil. Revive the wild, nigga. The ladies sweat the style like the squirrel sweats the nuts. You know what fellas good for the moolah. Don't smoke no rulers, we the name, call me Slick Tip the ruler. Shaitan got me by the pressure points, but I could break a fella down like sex. You need weed checks, but still light in the ass and can't flex. If one nigga front, I'ma make more pay. Cause tonight, we getting off like OJ. And yo, I got a dog that bites, fuck the barking. Yo, I got a crew with the grease and the smarts in.
I put my shit up on Linden and I 192. Forever writing, ever biting, ain't shit else to do. Hoping to battle, but most of these ain't ready yet. But if they utter one word, then it's the shit itself. You have MCs dropping bombs, that's incredible. Some of the brothers, their styles are just despicable. As for me, see, I just do how I like to do. Try to deny me of my props, then I'll be seeing you. Most of you suckers wanna be down for the tag along. The friggin' fame, someone tell them that this shit ain't game. You got to do this from your heart, meaning your inner soul. And if it's real, only then will you be on a roll. I try to stay on top of my game, there ain't no time to lose. For albums, deepers, a quester, but still we paying dues. So hear me out one time, you got to be yourself. Cause if you ain't yourself, you end up by your friggin' self. I'm coming rugged with the Linden Bully Pepper slang. And yo, we'll see who can hang. Yo, you're on point, Tip.
You once again fight.
You're on point, Tip.
You once again fight.
You're on point, Tip.
You once again fight.
Yeah, yo.
Yo, that kid is lonely.
Yeah, y'all know what time it is. It's Friday night. It's Surviving the Game. Y'all get ready. Sit back. Relax. We're going to have a good time. So y'all just sit back. Here we go.
Okay, okay. All right. Big man. You want to make some big bucks, huh? Let's see how tough you are. You know something about cocaine? Dígame. You kidding me or what, man? There's a bunch of Colombians coming in Friday. New guys. They said they got two keys for us, for openers. Your cocaine. You telling capiche? I want you to go over there, and if it's what they say it is, you buy it, you bring it back. You can do that, you make $5,000. Meet at the bodegas, noon Friday. You get the buy money then. Oh, and Chico, if anything happens to the buy money, Jeezy's gonna stick your heads up your ass as fast as the rabbit gets fucked.
Just talk about
weigh the leathers and put ice on the gold. Chili with enough bell money to free a big willy. High stakes, I got more at stake than filling. Shopping sprees, copping three. Deuce fever, IS is fully loaded. Yes, bouncing in the next Luger. Tire smoke like Buddha. 50 G's to the crap shooter. Niggas can't fade me. Chrome stocks beaming. Through my peripheral, I see you scheming. Stop dreaming, I need your body steaming. Niggas is fiending, what's the meaning? I'm leaning on any nigga intervening with the sound of my money machining. My cup runneth over with hundreds. I'm one of the best niggas that done it. Six digits and running, y'all niggas don't want it. I got the Godfather flow, the Don Juan DeMarco. Swear to God, don't get it fucked up. You can't knock the hustle.
But do you think you are?
Damn.
Maybe one
damn
day you'll be
a star. Last scene out of state where I drop my slang. I'm deep in the south kicking up top game. Bouncing on the highway, switching four lanes. Screaming through the sunroof, money ain't a thing. Your worst fear confirmed. Me and my fam roll tight like the firm. Getting down for life, track. You better learn why I play with fire, you burn. We get together like a choir to acquire what we desire. We do dirt like worms, produce G's like sperm. To legs spread like germs. I got expensive hoes with expensive clothes. And I sip fine wines and spit vintage clothes. But y'all don't know. Yeah, cause you can't knock the hustle.
But until the day they think I'm the one who's crazy, and that's the way you're making me be.
You can't knock the hustle. Niggas lunching, punching the clock. My function is to make munch and lay back munching. Sipping Remy on the rocks, my crew. Something to watch, nothing to stop. Unstoppable, scheme on the ice. I gotta hot your crew. I gotta let you niggas know the time like Movado. My motto, stack rocks like Colorado. Water off the champagne, crystals by the bottle. It's a damn shame what you're not, though. Me, slick like a gato, fucking Jay-Z. My pops knew exactly what he did when he made me. He tried to get a nut and he got a nut. And what? Straight bananas, can a nigga see me? Got the U.S. Open, advantage jigger. Served like Sampras, play fake rappers like a campus. The Tigra, son, you're too eager. You ain't having it? Good, me either. Let's get together and make this whole world believe it, huh? Admire Raymond, screaming. All us blacks got is sports and entertainment. Until we even, leaving. As long as I'm breathing, can't knock the way a nigga eating. Fuck you, even.
Watching her fine ass walk to my bedroom and thought to myself, that's the shape of things to come, she said. Why in the club you don't make it precipitate, you know, make it rain when you can make it thunderstorm? I'm like, why? The world needs sun, the hood needs funds. There's a war going on and half the battle is guns. How dare I throw it on the floor when people are poor? So I write like Edgar Allan to restore. Got a cord umbilical attached to
a place that can't afford no landscaping or window draping. This old lady told me if I ain't got nothing good, say Nathan. That's why I don't talk much. I swear it don't cost much to pay attention to me. I tell it like it is, then I tell it how it could be. The hood be requesting my services. Oh, don't get nervous. It's step your game of time. These ain't them same old rhymes designed to have you dancing in some club. Niggas ride to me, women be off in they tub, exfoliating with they pom-poms, yelling, go 3,000. I'm in my whatever, bumping while 100 miles and running, 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 summon, woman, coming, sit down, heard you need some plumbing, dunning. I'm in a swell mood, a rather swole mood, until she told me that she told dude that she'll be back, she's going to the store. I didn't know she had a boyfriend, so the door I pointed her to, I said, call me when y'all break up. I don't fuck nobody, bitch, you never owned a Jacob. Know what time it is, nigga, just trying to live like a nigga supposed to live. If I still drank that malt liquor, I'd cold a beer on the ground for niggas not around. I started off starving, now they got me out here bread farving, trying to see if I still got it, got it. I guess it's like a bite, think about it, about it, about it, about it.
Nothing gonna stop us now, you can't stop us. What you gonna do right now, you can't run. We the boss is here, we rock this shit. Cause ain't nobody doing this like we do, oh no. Nothing gonna stop us now, you can't stop us. What you gonna do right now, you can't run. We the boss is here, we rock this shit. Cause ain't nobody doing it like we do, oh no.
This bitch in the VIP, I used to clip like Rob the Ball, but it seems she couldn't shape up. Cupcaker, I didn't bother, she's a follower, a hell of a swallower, not a leader. Got a first, second, third, and fourth string, I didn't need her. I didn't mean to treat her like she was the main feature presentation. Her just a traitor to the situation, more like a hassle because she had no keys to the castle. The queen sits on the throne, why this whole ride down on national? Zoom, zoom, head over, beat your feet, drop, drop, drop down and get your eagle on, freak. We ever so discreet with this meat, got a whole lot to lose. If paparazzi ever shot or shoot, we, meaning me and you, us together in the lens, my ends would be gone just like some throw in the wind. So the hoe you gonna win, show enough we gon' pretend to the land of make-believe. Now come on and hit this hen. Taking shots to the neck, now that's love in your mouth. Now we're affiliates, so don't give me the game for real. No drama, it makes no sense. I got a mean ass backhand and a cannon that don't miss.
Nothing gonna stop us now, you can't stop us. What you gonna do right now, you can't run. We the boss in here, we lost this shit. Cause ain't nobody doing it like we do, oh no. Nothing gonna stop us now, you can't stop us. What you gonna do right now, you can't run. We the boss in here, we lost this shit. Cause ain't nobody doing it like we do, oh no.
I know what you tuned in to. You tuned into WGAG Radio. We got one more cut, and then we about to get this show on the road. So everybody, kick back, relax, and get ready to go.
Oh.
All right. It ain't playing, so we got to go to something else. It be like that sometimes. All right. Switchboard is not agreeing right now. Be like that. A little bit of technical difficulties. Like I said, y'all sit back. Y'all know what it is. It's Nefertiti. What's going on, everybody? Yeah, the switchboard is not agreeing with me right now. I know. Yeah, go ahead, Don, because the switchboard is not agreeing with me right now. Okay. Take it away.
Make it this time, baby. You catch my girl legs open, better smash that. Don't be surprised if she asks where the cash at.
Let's talk about what they don't want you to talk about.
On the Donna Coleon Show, Rock Talk Radio, Monday through Friday, 12 noon Eastern Standard Time, or GeorgiaGaza.com.
WGAG Radio.
All Eyes on Egypt presents the Holy Tablet, backed by popular demand. Written and transcribed by Dr. Malachi Zodok Yokel, the receiver. This is the scripture that is divinely inspired that will bring about a long overdue change. Like the phoenix bird rising up out of its ashes. Up, you mighty people, come forth like Lazarus from the tomb. This tablet is food to feed the hunger and to nourish the soul, to give it strength. Rise up, stand up, be counted amongst the people of this world. Be the first to get your copy of the Holy Tablets while supplies last. At All Eyes on Egypt, Monticello, Georgia, 706-468-2319.
The Don Nicoleon After Party, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at PowTalk.com. All you need is a microphone, a headset. You can use your Android phone or your iPhone. You can download the app stack. The internet for the Don Nicoleon After Party. You mean I can get down like that? I can download the app for PowTalk? That's right. You can join us via Georgia Gossip, Facebook. It all goes down here. Controversy in the room. Oh, my God. Can we talk about a lot of shit here? Let me tell you something. Come on down to the Don Nicoleon After Party and check us out, where we sit there and have mad debates. It is the largest, the hottest chat room where controversy goes down. If there's a conversation, it goes down at the Don Nicoleon After Party. So join us via Facebook and Georgia Gossip. Come on down and do what you do while we do what we do. Sit on our couch. Check us out at PowerTalk.com. Don Nicoleon After Party. We'll be looking for you.
Members of Congress expressed optimism Sunday about the prospects for reaching a deal to avoid the fiscal cliff.
Fragile ceasefire between Israel and Hamas is entering its third full day, and both Israelis and Palestinians.
Bottom line, Senator, if the president nominates Ambassador Rice to be the next Secretary of State or some other...
Supplementary question. Do you personally believe that gay people are born gay?
Impact statement tonight, the Talking Points memo...
Hot damn politics.
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 I'm back now with the Brain Trust panel.
Brain Trust. Brain Trust. Brain Trust. Brain Trust panel.
These niggas won't hold me back.
I put that shit on everything.
Ring, ring.
Keisha, pick up the phone.
Ring, ring. Hello?
Keisha, I'm bored as fuck, girl. YouTube is boring. Facebook is boring. Girl, I want to go somewhere where I can motherfucking interact with some real motherfucking people, bitch. Where the fuck you go to?
Girl, I go to that goddamn Blueprint on PowTalk, bitch. All you fucking need is a goddamn headset and a microphone and an internet connection, bitch. And you in the game. And Blueprint got all the motherfucking real goddamn conversation going on there, bitch. Come on, girl. Get on hold of that Blueprint, bitch.
Yeah, that's right. You heard it. Blueprint on PowerTalk.com. One of the hottest interactive chat room on the planet. You don't want to miss it. Tune in 24 hours a day. Get your mic and get ready to talk, baby. Blueprint, PowerTalk.com.
I want you to try and tell us everything that happened. Anything you can remember. Anything you can remember.
I just want to tell the truth. The truth. The truth.
There's your truth, my truth, and the truth. People say one thing and do another.
We call them hypocrites. This is Queenie Fama, the truth terror. And that's what I look for. I look for the truth. Join me on Sundays on Blog Talk Radio at 6 p.m. That's Blog Talk Radio at www.blogtalkradio.com/Queen-Ifama. I look forward to seeing you 6 p.m. on Sundays. Come join me. Let's get down to the butt naked truth. Hotep, everybody.
I just want to tell the truth. The truth. The truth.
Let's get ready to rumble!
Kick back and chill with Nefertiti, the number one sports connoisseur in cyberspace, giving you the latest updates in sports, current events, and hot topics. Tune in every Friday night at 11 o'clock with Nefertiti, Surviving the Game, only on WGAG Radio.
Don't believe me, just watch, nigga, don't believe me, just watch. Don't believe me, just watch, nigga, don't
believe me, just watch. Alright, gonna learn today.
Yeah. Y'all know what time it is, right? Y'all gonna put y'all motherfucking hands together, turn your motherfucking radios up, cause it's the one and only Nefertiti, Surviving the Game, every Friday night, 11 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, on WGAG Radio. Let's get it.
Alright. You gonna learn today.
Introducing the master of all masters, the post-sports captain, host of Surviving the Game, Nefertiti.
Organize everything I do's revolutionize. I build what's good for the whole damn hood. Study G's like these really think you should. I live, I die, I organize everything I do, revolutionize. I build what's good for the whole damn hood. Study G's like these.
Yes. What's going on? Y'all know what it is. It is Friday night, baby. It's only the one and only Surviving the Game, baby. It's your girl, Nefertiti. I made it. It's been a long motherfucking week, I tell you, but I made it here. Thank you for that clap. Yes, ma'am. So I want to give a shout out, you know, first and foremost to GeorgiaGossip.com. Go there, become a member, man, get the mix. You know, get everything. You can post articles. You can do your whole social network and everything over there. You know, your boy Andy does a great job over there at Soap. Oh, God damn, I said Soap does a good job over there. Indie Heat Magazine. What's going on, Soap? Go check out that internet magazine. He posts new episodes every Wednesday, you know, and the show's also brought to you by greener-greens.com, baby. Go get what you need. You got the seeds and everything in between. All right? Oh, goodness gracious. So this is what it is, man. I'm glad. I'm going to say what's up to everybody out there in the chat, everybody on the call lines. You know, first and foremost, I want to just give props for everybody asking me how I was doing this week. Man, it's been a long-tested fucking week, man. I mean, the shit started on Monday. Oh, God, here we go. Let me tell you something about computers. I had the after party on mute, like literally, and it just kicked me out, and this guy's still on mute, and it's playing. Computers ain't reliable. Don't believe the shit you read, because they're not. They do what the fuck they want to do, regardless of what you're trying to do. Let me tell you. That's that artificial intelligence, y'all. I'm trying to tell you. The shit is real. So, but like I said, I want to thank everybody for sending, you know, like, healing thoughts and everything like that, man. Let's give it up for the great invention of penicillin. Yes, a.k.a. moxicillin for a generic version. Yeah, because it really allowed me to get on this mic and talk. And I tell you one thing I've learned from this whole ordeal is this, is that is it mold mix? Is that what that shit is? Is mold? Holy shit. But I tell you one thing I've learned is when you have any intrusive surgery done to you, when I say intrusive, I mean when they actually go in you and cut on you and replace shit and put artificial things in your body, you know, it's going to rear its fucking ugly head. You know what I'm saying? And that was the case for me. You know what I'm saying? It really, like I said, it started Monday night. I was kicking it with my husband. You know, we were hanging out doing some things, and, you know, the nigga was hitting till he, you know, wants some special attention. I was like, nigga, no, my jaw hurt. And he thought that was an excuse, you know what I'm saying? Like, oh, you said your jaw hurt. No, nigga, my jaw hurt. I woke up Tuesday, it was even a little bit more sore, and it just got worse and worse as the week progressed. You know, by Friday, my shit was swollen and all that. And so, like I said, I went in there, handled my biz. They gave me the fucking amoxicillin and all that shit. So, like I said, thanks for everybody for, you know, just having your healing thoughts, man. So this shit is still to be continued, but that's what it is. So, man, we got a good show tonight, man. I got a lot of shit I want to touch on. I definitely want to touch on, like I said, the fucking scandal with the 2003 Raiders team. I also want to get into the shit with Ray Lewis. I don't know. I got this late in the evening. I don't know how y'all been hearing about fucking Ray Lewis now. Now they really going in on this nigga. See, when the lights is on you and everything is bright, then they want to start bringing up old shit. And I think y'all know what I mean. I'm talking about the summer of 2000. Yeah, we going to get into that because that shit is rearing its ugly head right now for Ray Lewis. But I just wanted to say this before I get into it. I love niggas, but I can't stand niggas. You know what I'm saying? It's a real love-hate relationship when it comes with niggas. And let me tell you why. Because it's just like, I was at home, you know, getting shit together for the show, getting my house in order and shit like that. And I'm stepping out on my porch, relaxing, you know, smoking, having like a nice little black and mild toke and all this shit. And I'm thinking back to yesterday, what happened. It's like, I love where I live, but I hate where I live. You know what I'm saying? Because I love niggas because even, like, a crackhead can have, like, a beautiful light in them. You know what I'm saying? Because, you know, we got local crackheads around here. You know what I'm saying? It's like, you know, it's this chick that she come around, and she talks and shit like that. And I'd be like, what's up? Her name is Angel. And I'd be like, what's up, Angel? How you doing? And she'd be so happy and nice. She's like one of the friendliest crackheads you would ever want to meet. Seriously. She'd be like, oh, how's the family doing? And, oh, the children are so nice. And, you know, later that night, I'm sitting out in my garbage can, you know, for the, you know, to get the garbage to be taken. She getting into an argument with her crackhead boyfriend. They walking by my house. And I just hear, and she kicks over my garbage can. Now, this is the same friendly crackhead that is cool and nice. And I'm like, why are you going to take out your frustrations on my garbage can? Now I got garbage all over the place and shit like that. You know what I'm saying? And I'm like, that's just niggas for you. You know what I'm saying? It's just like, the shit is wild. Let me tell you another reason why I love and hate niggas. Yeah, they was tweaking all right. Yeah, they was tweaking all right. But another reason why I love and hate niggas. I love niggas because they know how to party. They know how to have a good time. Like I said, I'm on my porch this evening, just, you know, taking in some fresh air. The niggas across the street having a good time. It's Friday night. Y'all know how it is. It's a full moon out. It's Friday night in Oakland. Bitches getting ready to, they all dressed up. They getting ready to hit the Foothill Strip. I know Mr. Dia know what I'm talking about. They getting ready to hit the Foothill Strip and all this shit. So they partying, they drinking, whatever the case. And the sister, who I've told plenty of people about, who got like 7 or 8 children and shit like that, and she only talked to me when she drunk. You know what I'm saying? So they tipsy. She walling her ass down the stairs. She come over here talking about, Neff, let me have a dollar. You know, I'm like, a dollar? Can you have a dollar? Now, you sitting over, it's like 10 chicks over there, right? 10 women over there. A house full of chicks, they drinking and smoking. You come over here and ask me for a dollar. I'm like, I don't have a dollar. You know what I'm saying? You know I got money, but what you like? What you talking about? You ain't got no dollar. Man, y'all caked up over there. Y'all caked up over there. I can't get a dollar. Okay, you know, and drunks get really aggressive. She's kind of she's a fighter. You know what I'm saying? So I can't get a dollar. Oh, well, fuck you then. Well, fuck you then. And I'm like, you can't be serious. I'm sitting on my porch. I'm like, I ain't got time for this shit. Seriously. You know what I'm saying? Then now, so it's five or six broads across the street drunk, cackling, talking shit. Oh, that bitch, you know, she thinks she better than everybody. I ain't going to give a motherfucker a dollar. I'm like, come on. You can't, niggas, that's why I said I love niggas, yet I hate niggas. Because they know how to party. They have a good time. But I'm telling you, once they get some liquor in them and they get indignant, especially when they're around their people, they like to show off. They like to show out. You know what I'm saying? Like I said, she don't even live over there no more. Her mama and her little sister live over there, so she just come over. And the woman is like a raving fucking drunk, you know what I'm saying? And so I'm like, so now you want to create friction, you know what I'm saying, over a dollar that you asked for. And usually, you know, because in the past I used to give them a lot of shit, you know what I'm saying, but I snapped out of that. I mean, I let the bitch borrow my iron before, you know, you got some zigzags, all that shit, you know what I'm saying? So, you know, I don't know if they just, you know, drunk, having a good time and stuff like that. I see you, you know, you didn't change your look up and all that shit you hear. I said, man, let me take my ass in the house before some shit pop off because I don't have time to be, yeah, I let them borrow the iron. That was stupid for Asha, I know. But I'm telling you, that's, I know that was stupid. But I'm like, that's the reason why I love niggas, yet I hate, you know, I can't stand niggas. Calvin has a question for me. Go ahead, Calvin. What is your question? I'm interested. Remember the lady you had on the show that was running for office? And then she went, oh, you on some way other shit. Teresa, yeah, T-Mo. No, she didn't win, but she got the third most votes. You know, she going to run again. You know, T-Mo doing her thing, you know. Yeah, you know, Violana, she was fun. You know, like I said, when you got a whole audience of people and shit, and y'all all over there drinking, getting high and shit, people like to show their ass and stuff like that. So, you know, I let her have that one. You know, the chick is, you know, she, like I said, she never talks to me when she's sober. She only fuck with me and talk to me when she got some liquor up in her. So, you know, so I let her have that shit, you know what I'm saying, because ain't no telling what's in store for them for tonight. You know what I'm saying? They all deep in the car, and they going to go do whatever it is that they do. She probably getting ready to make another baby. But, you know, that's yet to be seen. So, whatever. That's what it is. Let me tell you another reason why I love niggas, but I hate niggas. You know? Right. You know, no, you know what? Firelines, I don't even think she thought a dollar was impressive. I just think she wanted to see, was I going to, you know, give it to her? Because usually, I don't really count. I don't talk to them. You know what I'm saying? I really, like cut myself from, like, really fucking with them. I say hi and hello, and that's about it because we neighbors. But I don't, you know, I didn't never let my children play with all her children. You know, they came over sparingly, shit like that. So I just didn't really intermingle with them. So like I said, she had a crowd full of people, you know what I'm saying? So she gonna come over here just to, you know, I don't know what her fucking motive was, but you know, I was like, bitch, I chalk it up to your alcohol, I chalk it up to your fucking ignorance, you know. Right, you know, but you know, come on, man, this is a woman who has like 7 children, multiple baby daddies, even though they know wrong with that, but you know I'm saying, that's just her mentality, you know what I'm saying? Shit, this is, shit is crazy. So the other reason why I have a love-hate relationship with niggas is this old man, this preacher. He used to have a church on the corner, far on the far end of my block. And he goes up and down the street singing, he has the whole world in my hand. I'm going to fucking record it for the next show. I'm going to record it so y'all can hear this man. So he goes up and down the street singing, he has the whole world in his hand. And for the longest before Obama got elected, he would be going, Obama, FOMO, Obama, FOMO. And now his big thing is, Obama, God gave Obama FOMO. So that's what he goes up and down the street hollering all day. God gave Obama FOMO for us. That's his thing, FOMO for us. So I was out there, I just wanted to fuck with him. I said, so what are you going to do? He said, shit, he going to give everybody a loan. I said, he going to give everybody a loan? I said, well, I need that business law. I said, tell Obama to give me that business law. I said, how much you going to give? He said, shit, about $1 million. I said, what hell? Now, you know something I don't know, if he's going to give $1 million for a loan. But, you know, you know, right, fire lines. I think he's like in his 60s or 70s. This man has been singing. He has the whole world in his hands since I was about, well, I can remember to about 13 years old. He sits on the corner of 73rd Avenue in East 14. Mr. Dia, Mr. Dia is from our area, so I know she know what I'm talking about. That man would be singing that shit. He even do renditions, like he got all the bass heads in his hand. He real funny. And you think people are crazy who do shit like that, but he held a job at Western Union for like 20-something years. This shit is crazy. But that's my love-hate relationship with niggas. Like I said, niggas in so many ways can be very, very beautiful, but at the same time, I'm just like, tired of it. You know what I'm saying? I'm tired of them. You know what I'm saying? Now, where can you go? It's not like you can ever escape niggas because, like I said, they beautifully beautiful people. Even when shit is hard on the outside, you usually got really good hearts and shit like that. But it's just like, man, it really makes you want to just snap on food sometimes, really. Even if something as simple as going to the gas station. I was going to the gas station the other day. And, you know, it's one way that you get in. People cut in, go the back way, cheat. You know, just cheat and cut you off. Hurry up and get to the damn pump before you do. And people get into fights. People get shot over shit like that, you know, around my way. They get shot over, like, you cut me off and you stole the pump. You know what I'm saying? This is crazy. So, well, hold on, what are you on? No. All right. So that's what that is. So, like I said, man, I want to give shout-outs to everybody that's in attendance tonight, man. First, we're going to start from the top. Definitely want to give a big shout-out and say what's up to the one, the only, Don Nicoleon. What's going on, Don? How you doing this evening? He's in the building. I see Antichrist 666 is hanging out with us. What's going on? What's going on, Antichrist? I see Big Sav. We got Calvin Williams in the building. Farasha 70 is in the house. The mighty, mighty one and only Fire Lioness is in the building. Get Real Mississippi's Finest is hanging out. All the guests that's hanging out with us right now. Ja Elohim Bizet, what's going on with you? Miss Adia, yes, another Bay Area representative hanging out with us tonight. What's going on with you, Miss Adia? It's good to see you in here. Usually don't see you in the evening. That's what's up. Well, for you out of here. I see Miss Black hanging out with us. Hey, Satuk Timms, what's going on, Satuk? The mixed scientist, photographer extraordinaire, and he cuts hair. Yeah, yeah. What's going on, Mix? And Vivian Lee is in the building. What's going on, Vivian? Hey, all right, another spot where we hang out. Hey, it's the Don Nicoleon after party, man. You need to get over there. If you don't, you a square. It's packed over there tonight, too. Actually, I can't even see because it kicked me out. So, all you beautiful people hanging out in the after party, when I go to commercial, I'll give you a shout-out later because I don't want all that noise. So, like I said, I wanted to get into a couple things before, this other stuff that I got in plan for us tonight. We'll see how it goes. You never know how things transpire. But check this shit out. Ray Lewis, right? I don't know how many of y'all heard. How many of y'all heard about Wes Welker's wife going in on Ray Lewis after that Patriot game, right? She puts out on Twitter, you know, I want to thank my husband and Patriots for a good game, but Ray Lewis, six children, four wives, accused of murder, and paid out the families. Oh, what a role model. So, like I said, this is, the Super Bowl is, like, the biggest shit going on. It's probably, like, the grandest stage in sports. You know, it's a big-ass fucking extravaganza. Ray Lewis, besides the coaches, the Harbaugh brothers, little twist, he is going to be the biggest name. You know what I'm saying? Ray Lewis trumps all the other players that is playing in that game. You know what I'm saying? It's about to be his retirement, all that good shit. So he trumps all of that. Okay, 4-4. And, so the thing is, as they praise you, they're going to dig into your past. They're going to get real personal with your personal life. And that's what you see about to happen with Ray Lewis. I'm going to go to the call lines. I got a call early on this evening, Friday evening, full moon night. So, things are bound to happen. So I'm going to open the mic for 404-992. Can I get a mic check? You're surviving the game.
Yeah, how you doing?
Ooh. How you doing?
I'm doing good. My name is Shogun from Harlem, Georgia.
Harlem, Georgia? What do you say you're from?
Harlem, Georgia.
We got some Georgians in the building. Is there a damn Harlem, Georgia, y'all? Seriously. Is it Harlem, Georgia? People. Yeah. They said, nigga, ain't no Harlem, Georgia. But anyway, what you got to bring to
the
show?
I just want Ray Lewis, you know, you talk about the incident in 2000.
Right.
You're talking about, like, the knife incident or something like that.
Oh, yeah, the double homicide. Yeah, we're gonna delve back into that whole case because, like I said, Ray Lewis is the biggest name next to Tom Brady in football. He's the face. He has multiple endorsements. He has endorsements from fucking Under Armour, Old Spice, Visa, Madden. So, you know, and like I said, he's getting ready to retire. So he's going to be the biggest story. So, you know, it's already USA Today already went in and went back to go find these people who were involved in this murder case. So that's going to be big. It's about to be a big deal. So what you got to bring to it?
I thought that if you take a picture of Ray Lewis and put it next to Joe Jackson, you might see they look similar. Like Ray Lewis, Joe Jackson, and Lil Richard, they all look alike to me. And I think that, you know, Ray Lewis, I don't really think he really killed them boy, though. You think he killed them folks? Or what? Or like, what really happened? Do you know what really happened with that situation?
Well, since you asked, I mean, I'm going to tell you this. He knew what happened. He knew I mean, did he literally shank somebody? Did he literally poke somebody to cause their death? No, I don't think so. But what I do think that he was involved in a scuffle, what I do think that his entourage definitely was the cause of them young men losing their lives. And what it was is, I mean, was he paid to, you know, he took the ladder, he went and testified against, you know, his cohorts or whatever the case may be. That's what he did. And he took a lesser plea. He got obstruction of justice. Now, what exactly did he obstruct? That remains to be seen. I mean, I got a nice article. You know, did he pay out the damn families? He paid off two families. I always say this. Do they say paying out, is that a sign of guilt? In the court of law, maybe not. But in the eyes of many, yes. Why would you pay victims to whom you were not the reason for their death? You know what I'm saying? So that's a big thing, you know what I'm saying? To me, that's almost an admission of guilt. Some people say they do it so they don't want to get dragged through the mud. They don't want to have these long fucking hearings or whatever the case may be. But, I mean, we just got to look at what happened that night. Everybody know that Ray rolled with gangsters. Let's not act like that nigga was all wholesome and shit. The nigga's from Dade County. Not saying that every nigga from Dade County is a goddamn criminal, but he rolled with niggas who was about that life, you know? And let's not act like he didn't. He rolled with a pack of gangsters, and them niggas from Ohio who basically was the people they had beef with, was talking shit. He was in his limo with his nice white fucking suit on. By the way, that was discarded, never found. Did you know that? Did you know that the man from Harlem, Georgia, that nigga wore a full white suit that night and it was never recovered?
No, I didn't know that. So you heard that too?
Oh, yeah. I mean, that was a fact. I mean, he was photos of him taken that night. I mean, he was partying in Atlanta all night long, you know, at the clubs and everything else.
He might have just come back from one of Puffy parties or something.
Oh, yeah, you know, it could have been Puffy, it could have been whoever, this is the case maybe, but the shit is this. Where's your outfit, Ray? Where's the suit? Why do you have to get rid of the suit? You know what I'm saying? Yeah, was it because there was spotted blood on it and shit like that, like I said. So all this shit is coming back, you know? Like I said, this week upcoming is about to be the media blitz day where they got to sit out in front of the podium for hours and hours. And, you know, they're going to ask him questions. Is he going to be willing to answer all them questions and shit? I don't know.
It seems like it's some more, you know, like you said on one of your show, like something going on behind the scene. You know, it seemed like Baltimore paid Ravens in the Super Bowl, but it seemed like it's like some type of galactic extraterrestrial commission going on. Like they trying to bring up his old shit, and it's like he's being tried again in another dimension.
Of course.
So, like in another dimension, you know what I mean?
Well, is it from another dimension? I don't know, because he committed, he was involved in this shit right here. So what I'm saying, this is what I am saying. Anytime you think you're going to be put on the highest pedestal, it's going to be people that are going to want to dig into your past. You know what I'm saying? So if you know, if you think they're not going to bring this shit up, absolutely they are. So, you know, like I said, Ray Lewis, you know, you can't judge what he does on the field, because what he does on the field is probably one of the best linebackers that ever played. But what went on that night, only him, them niggas around him, and the ones who ain't here right now on this fucking plane know what happened. So, you know what I'm saying? So, you know, who going to judge him at this point? The media can, but it really don't mean shit, you know? So, that's what that is. So
he's going to throw his game off. He's going to be nervous. He's probably doing a profession. You see? Did you see that?
Shit.
Hey, Nell, I did have one question. Did you see Flight?
No, I haven't seen Flight. The Denzel movie when he's high on coke and all that shit and he crashed the plane or whatever? No, I haven't seen that.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I was going to tell you, I don't want to fuck it up for you like towards the end. But, you know, they had a little press conference with Denzel in the movie. And then he just confessed, you know what I mean, that he did the shit, fucked up everything. He was supposed to get off scot-free. So Ray, they might say, Ray, what you think about the game, son? He might say, I did it.
Hell no, that nigga ain't saying he did shit. Okay, let's get that clear. That nigga's not going to say nothing. He probably ain't even going to answer no questions on it, which he really shouldn't do, because they will try to use that shit to shake him, to try to fuck with his mind. But, you know, by this time, man, Ray is such a veteran, man. He's not going to let that shit get to him. But I'm going to open up another line. We got 347-520. Your mic is open. Welcome to Surviving the Game. Can I get a mic check? 347-520.
What's up, Neff?
Who's this? Welcome to the show. Who this?
It's 347.
I know 347. What is your handle, nigga?
Oh, shit. I'm just chilling, surviving the game. Just do you, boo. Go ahead. Do what you do.
All right. You know, you can put yourself on mute, whatever, but if you want to chime in, your mic is open, so I'll leave your mic open.
All right. That's what it is.
Mm-hmm. Boy, I got some funny sounding people tonight. I'm saying maybe this is their voices, whatever the case may be. But that's what's up. You know what it is. Hey, man, it's Friday night. It's a full fucking moon. You know what I'm saying? This is a full moon. You never know what you're going to get on this night. Did it sound like Cat Williams, didn't he? The kids just eating all the Cheerios and shit like that. You know, yeah. So,
yeah, he did.
Didn't he sound like Cat?
Yeah.
So that's what that is, so... Yeah, so Ray Lewis, like I said, man, that murder case was something else, and the families are talking about it, you know. Family members is like, oh, of course they going to want, you know, more attention. They saying, you know, our relatives are dead and there's no one paying for it. Bullshit, nobody paid for it. The person who paid for it was Ray, because you got paid. You got monetary compensation, you know. That's what you got out of this whole thing. So if they mean somebody got, you know, was justice done, look here. If you want justice done, you don't take the goddamn money. You know what I'm saying? You don't take the cash if you want justice to be done. So that don't, you know, when niggas say that shit, oh, we want justice, but you take the lump sum. No, you forfeited your right to go get justice for your slain ones when you take monetary, you know, givens. You know what I'm saying? When you say, I'll take this out of my pocket and shit, you know? Yeah. Mr. Dia say shit. Like what I'm saying, so if that's the case, Mr. Dia, then why take the money at all? You supposed to see this shit to the end. You supposed to make sure somebody's behind bars for that shit, you know? You know, I got a question in the chat. G said, Neff, what about Randy Moss? Did he deserve some props? For what, G? I mean, shit, at this point...
Oh, this is not Dawn, Jazzy. This is another girl, but she's with Dawn, but this is not
Dawn. Uh-oh, we got a mic open. Anybody talking? So, what I'm saying is that Randy Moss, I mean, you know, Randy Moss, did he deserve... I mean, he's just a player at this point. You know, he came back, he's older, he did his thing. He's just another team member, you know what I'm saying? Is he a legend? I mean, yeah, he wanted the best to do it. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, Randy Moss. I mean, shit, nobody came into the league like him. Tall, fast, strong. You know what I'm saying? He's actually been guiding Kaepernick. I give him that, G. You know what I'm saying? Has he been a you know, a quote-unquote good teammate. He's been that. You know what I'm saying? He ain't complained because he didn't get the ball in the first half of the season. You know what I'm saying? He's tuning, you know, young niggas like Crabtree and him. So, yeah, I give him props for that. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, I mean, I give him, yeah, you're right, G, I give him that. But, you know, this is his hurrah, his way to go out with a bang and shit like that. So that's what that is. But let me tell you, what I really wanted to get into before this shit is over, let me, was this damn whole Tim Brown thing. And, you know, and this, did his coach fix the damn Super Bowl in 2003? And I'm telling you, I love the way that the media really tries to play things off like niggas don't know what they talking about and that they're, you know, schizo about what they're saying. Like, oh, there's no way that a coach would ever throw a game. Let me tell you something. The coach ain't shit but a person, okay? That coach is no, has no moral high ground. Like, they so above doing, you know, like their shit is reproachable, like they won't fucking throw a game. They do this shit all the time. Now, we got to look at this punk-ass dude, Callahan, who the hell he is, you know what I'm saying, and what is he about, you know what I'm saying? So I'm trying to find this clip real quick. I had it queued up. So I find this clip of Tim Brown going in on it. And like I said, I love Jerry Rice for going in and backing Tim Brown, because really what you can't do is you can't deny Jerry Rice's fucking his resume, okay? Oh, the man is a four-time champion. He's been a Super Bowl MVP his damn self. So to say that he don't know, to say that he's scapegoating a coach is beyond reproach, you know what I'm saying? Because the nigga is impeccable. His shit is impeccable. I got a little noisy background, so I'm going to mute the 347 mic, I think that is. Is that it? Boom, that's it. So I got a couple more hands up, and I'm definitely going to open them up. I know I see Babylon Don. I'm going to open up his mic. Can I get a mic check from you, Babylon?
You already know what's going
what's
on.
What's going on, Babylon Don in the building with me? Yeah, we're going to open up two more mics, and then Babylon, you can go and take it away. We're going to open up 254-618. Your mic is open. Welcome to Surviving the Game. Can I get a mic check?
Let me get that mic check, Neff.
What's going on? Who this, baby? Who's
man,
this?
Man, it's Big Sav just hitting y'all.
Ah, what's up,
numbers.
Big Sav?
Already. Peace and blessings to everybody. I'll put myself on mute till it's time to go in.
Okay, that's what's up. Meet me next in line. I'm going to open up this other line, 804-731. You're on Surviving the Game. Can I get a mic check?
What's good? What's good, Neff? How you doing?
What's going on, this guru? Oh, Dread. Okay, I get y'all mixed up, you guru. What's going on, 24? It's good to hear your voice. So, yeah, all mics are open, man. We about to go in on this. Go ahead, Babylon. Take it away, and then we got Big Sav and 24, and we're going to get into this thing. We're going to get it popping, but I'm going to cue this thing up. Go ahead.
Hey, Neff, I was just waiting on you to get into the Ray Lewis thing, but...
Oh, we can go. No, keep going. We can... Go ahead, build on that. We can keep going.
As far as Randy Moss go, Neff, you know goddamn well Randy Moss should be a motherfucking legend.
He is. I mean you got the numbers to prove it, no doubt.
Yeah, that nigga put up the numbers, and that nigga goddamn done brought teams to the goddamn brink by his goddamn self now.
Well, I mean, he had a couple good runs in Minnesota. Yeah. I think he went to one Super Bowl in like 2004 or something. With the Vikes. No, I don't think, no. Matter of fact, they ain't never been to the Super Bowl. They had Dante Culpepper and Chris Carter.
Yeah.
They had great teams, but they never got to the ultimate game. But, I mean, you can't deny his numbers. What is he like, second?
Hey, he was just like Garnett, though. He just like Garnett. He took a ticket
in
to
what
Minnesota.
Way? In what way?
To Minnesota. To a sorry-ass, non-paying state.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Just like Garnett went to the Timberwolves. They ain't no winning state. San Fran a fucking winning state. Where you at? What you talking about? Jerry Rice and all them motherfuckers.
Right.
Yeah.
No,
but I was going to say, though, Randy Moss and niggas like Ray Lewis, but Randy Moss on that outside, that nigga is, I say this, Neff, to make a long story short, he invaluable by way of his experience in the number of games. Like you say, Ray Lewis ain't going to shake. Mm-hmm. When the other young niggas out of the crowd jumping and stumping on the fucking bleachers, them niggas heart shaped. Randy Moss ain't gonna shake them. That nigga gonna catch that bitch in the end zone if it come his way.
Hey, ain't no doubt about that. The man has in fucking incredible hands. Always has and always will have them. You know what I'm saying? So,
and he's a big game player.
He is. No doubt about it. He's not scared of the moment.
Nah, he ain't scared of the moment. That's all I want to add now. That nigga right. gonna goddamn do it if it come his way.
Right. No doubt about that. It's no doubt about that. So, I mean, so he is invaluable in that instance because he can keep all them youngsters in line, which he's been doing all season, but it's going to be interesting to see because he might be the big decider, you know what I'm saying? He might be that big decider to see who's, you know, the difference between winning and losing. It be like that sometimes, you know? Nigga have, like, two catches and then that one be the one to get it done. So, you know, that's what it is.
I have the green enough.
With Randy. So, come on, Big Sal, what you got, babe?
Man, well, like, I can agree what's going on, Babylon. I can agree completely, man, with the Randy Moss, except for one thing.
What's
playing
that,
the Baltimore Ravens.
All right.
I mean, let's keep it real. If we going to speak sports, then let's speak sports.
Okay, well, let's do that.
Okay. Now, you have Ed Reed.
Okay.
Which is arguably one of the best safeties, if not the best safety, to ever play the game.
Arguably. I'm going to say he is the best safety since, I'm going to give him since Ronnie Lott. No.
Yeah, I mean, well, if you're going to give him Ronnie Lott, then you got to give him Tatum.
Whoa.
Yeah.
He wouldn't have hit Tatum was.
And the reason you got to give him Tatum, too.
Not the hitter Tatum was. You can't put that. You cannot give him that label because he's a ball hawk. He's a ball hawk.
I'm
not
tell
a
you
hitter
this.
Like that. He's a ball hawk.
All I'm
going to
do
that.
Is tell you this. You watch the game. You watch Tom Brady come up with the cleat. Why Tom Brady fall down like that? Right.
Yep.
What I do is a lot of people watch the game. I study.
Everybody gonna side somebody up once in a while, but shit. And see, you can't put him in that Jack Tatum. That shit is like, and you know, was I stretching it with Ronnie? I might have been stretching it with Ronnie. You know what? I say that to you. I'm gonna give him this. He's good as Rod Woodson. How about that?
No, you will not. You will not. Look, I understand Woodson played for Oakland for some time, and you like that. Right. But what you're going to understand is Ed Reed has over 20 touchdowns. That means this cat actually hits the end zone better than some offensive players.
No doubt about that.
Randy Moss ain't going deep.
No.
The only time Randy Moss gonna make money is if he go deep. Randy don't come across the middle. Wes Walker didn't come across the middle. That's why his wife was upset. Wes Walker was out there shook.
Well, the only reason why he shook, and that's why she went at fucking Ray, because he's a short route runner across the middle, and who's sitting right there is number 52.
I'm sorry.
And that's why she went out here. That's why she went at his ass.
I'm sorry.
Okay.
I'm sorry that your husband is 5'10 and weighs 185 pounds and can catch the ball. I'm sorry about that. But guess what? In the game of football, if you come across the middle, then you know one thing is guaranteed.
You can get your fucking bell rung.
You're going to get your block knocked off.
Right. No doubt about that, though. We can keep it going, man. I love this shit. What's going on? I'm 24. What you got for me, love?
Hey, what's good? What's good, Neff? What's good, Babylon? What up, fam? Mm-hmm. Hey, I got this right here. This goddamn Super Bowl is conspiracy.
Say again, 24? Give it to me.
The Super Bowl is some bullshit right here coming up.
Why you say that? Why you say that before I open up this other line? I want to let 301 know that I see him, 301-752. I'm going to get to you in a sec. Just hold one second. Why is this bullshit? Tell me why. I got to hear this.
Because it's a big conspiracy, man. How in the world, you know, you got two hardball brothers, you know, going for the hardball bowl?
Hey, Hey, you done said something there. Go ahead, because I was thinking that shit, too, because remember, they played earlier in the year. Remember that shit? You know, they played that whole big thing up, so I said this would be a fucking the dick on hard for the NFL if they can get the two brothers in the Super Bowl.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. No, I seen that four games back now. I seen that four games back when Ray Lewis, you know, he came out with his retirement. It was like three or four games back, right?
Right.
I said, it's going to be a highball bowl. You know, they got the young boy Kaepernick back there, and they got Ray Lewis, you know, getting ready to retire.
Right.
You know, and I was like, highball brothers, you know, they coach each week for those things. And, you know, like I said, you could see what when they play, you know, they slide by teams. They slid by Brady. You know, they slide by these teams.
They slid by Brady.
Oh.
No, man. Did you watch the game? Excuse me, but I didn't mean to cut you off or anything like that in a Boat Garden manner. I'm just saying, man, they beat the brakes off New England, man.
Yeah,
come on, man. That wasn't no slide by. Slide by is you win by two, you three, maybe one. We'll say six or seven.
Right.
Yeah, man, they beat the brakes off them boys, man.
Yeah. What's the name had his number? Your boy had Ray Lewis had Brady's number. They played so many times against each other.
Those teams know each other very fucking well. You know
what
I'm saying? So, it, New England wasn't bringing no new shit to the table. And the fact is, it was gonna be the Ravens. We knew that. I knew they was gonna beat them myself. So, I don't think it was. It was one half was going to be there. San Francisco, I was a little bit surprised the way, you know, that whole game went down with the ATL, you know what I'm saying, ATL blowing a lead as they did. But you know, but like I said, y'all, I mean, I really want to talk about this fix, though, this sabotage game, you know, about the fucking 2003, because that shit is being big. You got the coach coming out now talking about defamation and suing Tim Brown, you know what I'm saying? You know, so I'm not, you know, I really want to get into that because we really got to talk about the underlying shit about this. It's all because it's always a component of, you know, boss and servant. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm telling you, it's a lot of racial shit going on right now. You're seeing people taking sides in this whole shit. And it's about, you know, it's interesting, man. We're about to get into that. But I want to open one more line. I want to open up 301-752, you know, surviving the game. Can I get a mic check from you, 301?
Yeah, this is B.A.
What's going on, B.A.? Black Achievement in the building. I want to say what's up to crowd pleasing them out there. I see you, crowd pleaser. I can't get in the chat, but I see everybody hanging out. What's going on with your black awareness? Black Achievement, I should say, not black awareness.
Okay, all right. Thanks for the introduction.
Mm-hmm.
But look here. You think Ray Lewis is going to be able to say he's taking his six kids and four baby mamas at Disney World when he gets Disney?
They'll let him do it this time because he won. He was the MVP the year that after he beat the murder case, but they wouldn't let him say, "I'm going to Disneyland." You remember that? They let the white boy Trent Dilfer do that shit. You know what I'm saying? They was like, "Nigga, you fresh off the damn charge. We can't let you say that shit, even though you was the MVP, because that's usually who says it." But they let Trent Dilfer say that shit. So I think either way it go. If you know, when they win, he will say, "Me and my six children and four baby mamas is going to Disney World." Yeah, they'll give it to him.
He should show up in a Super Bowl in a white suit, you know? He's a profile, you know? But I like Ray. But look, here's the thing. The Ravens are going to crush the 49ers, man. They ain't got a chance. This game is not going to be close. The defense is too strong. Ray Rice is too strong of a running back. Antoine Bolden, he ready? He's been in the league for like 10 years. He's been a top-notch receiver. He done paid the price. He ready to go. I don't think it's going to be close. I think the Ravens are going to beat him by at least two touchdowns. You know?
Two touchdowns? Oh, that's too much. That's not even in line with Vegas. You always got to look at Vegas when you talk about games of this magnitude. And 14 points is way too much. For Vegas, I think
Vegas been wrong the last 2 weeks.
Well, they might have been wrong with the winner, but they're not wrong on the point spread. You're not gonna mean you're not gonna tell me that they're gonna win by two touchdowns. It's the biggest game of the year. They got so much money riding on this shit. Are you serious?
Goddamn.
Okay. Shit.
Hey, now, can you consider this right here? Mm-hmm. They killed Reggie White and replaced Reggie White with Ray Lewis.
There you go.
They killed Reggie White. Well, when he gave that speech talking about all the races, yeah, that might have been it for him. He didn't die not too long after that. You remember that shit when he gave at the sermon at the church?
Talking about
niggas love to worship and Asians can make a TV out of a watch. shit like that.
Right.
So when he said that shit, you know, it wasn't too long after he had his so-called heart attack. And replaced him with Ray. Well,
yeah, so he told the truth, huh?
Yeah, when he did. When he went in on all the races and shit, you know, hey, it was after that, it was a wrap for him. Real talk.
But I just want to say, now, I was on the bandwagon for Bird winning, the Ravens winning. But however, the way these dudes talking, man, I think they really underestimate San Fran and the big franchise that they are. They ain't going to come out there bullshitting. Thinking that Ray Lewis gonna run over them niggas.
Nah, it's not that. But you got a 7-game rookie playing against a veteran secondary. Mm-hmm. You know, as instant as Kaepernick has been, and you know, as dynamic as been, and that's a brother. Everybody agrees that's a brother that's out there playing quarterback for the San Francisco.
Oh yeah, his nigga side is definitely QB in that team. You know, let's not even get that twisted. That's not his European side.
was he adopted?
Yeah, he adopted. He from actually out here. He from Bakersfield. You know.
Yeah, I knew he had two white parents. That's what I was like.
He was adopted. Look at old crowd pleaser said, Kaepernicker. I said, Kaepernicker. Damn, some things just meant to be said. Kaepernick, he said, Kaepernick ain't black.
Hey, Nev, you brought some things back, though, when you said two white adopted parents of a nigga. Once again, you know.
It's the fucking, what is that shit? That's a new craze, man. That is the fucking craze. Everybody love it, you know. Go and get you a young lady, raise them up, you know what I'm saying, and maybe they'll turn into the next star in sports. I'm serious.
Blindside
is being repeated over and over. I mean, goddamn, nigga, black babies are getting snatched up every moment by white folks, you know.
Yeah,
they ain't even adopted white children no more.
Not just any of them, though, Neff.
Mm-hmm.
They know the genetic link and the goddamn DNA in the child.
There you go.
Look at it, Michael Orr.
Yeah,
Kaepernick.
Right,
Mike Tyson.
Mike Tyson. Let's keep rolling. Shit, we can keep going. Who else? Who else was taken in? Whole bunch of motherfuckers taking in. They looking for the pot of gold. Even the girl who just won the Olympics, she got handlers too. Them people that took her in was a white family from Iowa. Even though she has a mother.
I watched the MMA fight last night.
You know?
And this is a brother from Africa. He ended up talking about his hometown is Salt Lake, Utah.
Crowd pleaser. Don't start that shit. Get the fuck out of here with all that. Without the white man, we would be lost. What are you talking about?
Lost what?
The fact is, what it goes to show you is that, nigga, we always, regardless of what it is, whether it's sports, science, we always need to invest in our fucking children. That's the underlying thing right there. That's the underlying theme. Invest in your fucking children because you don't know what God-given gift that they have. You know what I'm saying? That's what it really means. That's the underlying theme of all that shit is these black babies getting sucked up. You know what I'm saying? Even Hollywood is into it. Hollywood is deep into these black children. All of them got a black baby coming out the closet. You know?
And I don't know what they think is.
They getting Africans. Mm-hmm. You know?
Man, we already know what they're doing with our black children, man. They they ain't raised them up just to be sports players. They raised them to be a lot more other stuff too, man.
Say it again. They raised them to do what?
They ain't all raised them up just to be, you know, ball players. You know what I'm saying?
Uh-huh.
They're doing a whole lot more stuff behind them doors too.
That's what I said. I mean, which was as far as what? Be more specific for me.
Well, you know, sex slaves. You know what I'm saying? You know, the ones that you don't see. They
right.
Grow up fucked up. You know what I'm saying? And, you know, they just probably doing a whole lot of shit behind them doors.
I mean, shit. You can't throw none of that shit out. We know, these people, these damn lepers that go in and get these babies. They into all kind of shit. So it's not only that they want to raise them up and maybe they be the next millionaire or whatever the case may be, but you got to take all angles. Yes, sex slaves, abuse, all that shit. You know, who's gonna listen to the child that was taken in when they say this is the best thing for you? You should be happy. You lucky. You know what I'm saying? So all that shit goes into account. You know what I'm saying? So you're right about that. I can't remember who said that. Who just said that? I got so many.
No, Twitter.
Yeah, hey, yeah. 24.
What you think about Ray Lewis, man? How the hell did he ain't get kicked off the team like Mike Vick did, you know?
Because his owner loved him. Art Modell loved him. Literally loved that nigga. Okay?
Hey, without Ray, they won't have a championship, huh?
Yeah. I mean, shit, he loved Ray Lewis. Goddamn, Ray Lewis, after the Art Modell died this year, he called that man like his father. So what you think it is?
Yeah.
You know? And that bothers me a lot when grown-ass Nubians do that shit. He was like my father. You
yeah.
know what I'm saying? I can't, that fucking bothers me when I, to no
but
end.
You saw the Ray Lewis story. Neff's dad wasn't that. You
I mean, but
mean?
Shit, you
he
mean to tell me you
got
to look to the white man to say that was your daddy because he gave you an opportunity? If you couldn't run a 4-5, knock niggas through the wall, he wouldn't give two shits about you.
Yeah, but we don't know the conversation that they had.
Oh, we know the conversation. No, let's simulate
I mean,
that shit. No, let's simulate the conversation.
We
this
know.
Is what he said. Ray, you're a great athlete. You bring a lot of money to my organization. And we're going to look out for you, baby, because you're one of our assets. And we know that you're going to take a lesser charge. We already talked to our people, because we did pay for your lawyers. So we know what you're going to get. We know you're going to get obstruction of justice. And we're going to protect you, baby. That's how that conversation went with Art Modell.
Compared to the conversation that he might have had with his real father, that would have went something like this. Ray? I'm sorry. Now, what you're going to need to do is make sure you talk to your public defender and tell them that you are willing to do community service. Now, that was going to be the extent of the conversation that Ray Lewis had with his dad. How do we know this? If he was a stand-up dude, then Ray Lewis wouldn't have went through the high school record books, erasing his ass. You know?
Oh, his daddy? So he played out of anger of his father, are you saying?
I mean, what I'm saying is you judge somebody on when the rubber hit the road.
Right.
How they react. Now, there's some people that if I call you and say, hey, I need this, they might hang up on you or give you an excuse. Now, it's other people that when you call them and say that you need something, that they say, okay, we're going to get it taken care of. Now,
right.
In regards to your relationship with that person, you know, homosexual or not, I don't know. You know what I mean? We on Real Nigga Radio. I'm saying real shit right now.
Well, you better. Shit. Nothing left,
you know,
goddammit.
So, I mean,
shit. I don't care.
I don't know
whatever the
what
hell.
Was said to Ray Lewis by the dude, but at some point in time, the man put a bug in his ear, whether or not, you know, Ray took it for what it was or took it and fantasized about that shit. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
But I know right now, next week on Sunday,
mm-hmm.
Ray Lewis in the Baltimore Ravens going to be playing the 49ers in the Super Bowl. So anything that happened about 10 years ago ain't hitting on shit.
Hey, but did Ray Lewis have a father, though?
I'm sure he had a. I'm sure his daddy didn't live but around the corner from his ass. You know how.
And
his
dad
was
like
10 minutes
away.
I'm talking about the man that signed his birth certificate. Ray Lewis Senior.
Yeah.
I come there.
He lived about
him.
10 minutes away from him.
Oh, do we see? I didn't even see.
No, I didn't even have to know that. Listen
up.
The guy that's Ray Lewis's father, is
okay.
actually biological. Is not the person that Ray Lewis is named after. Is not the person that claimed and took care of Ray Lewis. Lewis Sr. is a different man. And my
question is, go ahead.
So my point is simply, why don't Ray Lewis talk about Ray Lewis Sr., the man that stepped to the plate to take care of his ass? Why he got to spend so much time on the crackhead that was out having all these babies?
It makes
okay,
for a better story.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
But Ray Lewis Sr. is on the damn thing
story.
With me.
Come on,
make
for a better story.
Special.
I triumphed over my crackhead father.
That's right now.
Okay, let's just call that what it is. It makes for, you know, that you be against all odds and shit like that, and you had you fought through the pits of hell to get to where you are.
I beg to differ.
How so?
You tell me it wouldn't be a better story if you talked about Ray Lewis Sr., a man who was not your biological father from day one, who came in your life, signed a birth certificate, took care of your nappy-headed ass.
That's the same man that's on the ESPN special with
right, that was the man on the E-40.
That's the same
E-40.
What you talking about, man?
On the E-60. That's the man that was on the E-60 story.
I ain't talking fast, man. People listening slow.
Right. So, but what I'm saying is, you know, I saw the E-60
story. Okay, well, brother, let me say, we're talking about two different documentaries, man. That's all.
You definitely got the man.
I'm talking about a documentary he did with the chick, Rachel something, on ESPN, the half-hour documentary.
I mean, of course, you're going to have both. You're going to have the man who took care of him, like Big Sav is talking about, which is the man from E-60. And, of course, you got to go deeper into the man who abandoned him. Like I said, you got to always go with the story that, you know, a nigga came from nothing and now he's something, okay? You know, like they said, and you know, he fought to erase his daddy out of his memory, meaning that he fought to get every record erased, to be like, I'm bigger than my father. Matter of fact, that nigga is a non-motherfucking factor. He don't even exist. You know, so that was his motivation. So, of course, I mean, it makes for good television. It makes for a good story.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Yeah, you're right. Black pathology makes for good stories.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the father shit don't work. Do they talk about Kobe Daddy, you know, who was a basketball player, very successful?
No, they don't talk about Jelly Bean. Shit.
Yeah, they talk about
Jelly Bean schooled his son. His son is athletic success.
Right.
What's there to talk about?
They don't talk about him like, you know, like they talk about Ray Lewis, pops, dude, on drugs.
Man, that's because Ray Lewis' dad wasn't in his damn life, man.
that's what it's about.
That's what
I'm saying. It makes a better story. You know what I'm saying?
Right. Jelly Bean handled his business, man. Ray Lewis' dad waited till later on till Ray Lewis reached out to him to want to handle his business. It's a difference.
Right.
Real niggas and fake niggas.
That's right.
That's the truth. So like I'm agreeing with Fire. It just makes for a great story about overcoming your sorry ass beginnings. I mean, motherfuckers love that story. You know what I'm saying? I mean, damn. I mean, shit. I mean, I love to hear that damn story too. You know, shit. Because that's a bitch. You know what I'm saying? When you do have all odds against you, you know, you're not supposed to turn out to be shit. Whether it's athletics, whether it's becoming a doctor, you know, whatever the case may be. You know what I'm saying? Shit. But that really goes to show you the grit of niggas. And once again, that's why I love niggas, but at the same time, I can't stand them. Like I said at the beginning. So, you said, crowd pleaser said, I agree with black achievement. Shaq said, Shaq did the right thing to talk about Phil and how, you're talking about when he talked about the man who Sarge, as he called him.
Yeah.
Would you say, what Don say, I'm quote, I said, how was life? Ain't started off as ain't shit. Okay. But, right, Don. Yeah. How was life? Okay. So, I mean, yeah, I mean, they did talk about his father, though. I got the line open. Let me open up this mic for the one and only Don DeColeone in the building.
My question was, how when you said that his life started off as ain't shit,
mm-hmm.
you know what I'm saying? How was his life ain't shit just because his daddy was a crackhead?
I mean,
like,
I mean,
did he end up in, like, foster care? Was he in the juvenile system?
I mean, you know, Day County,
yeah,
cause
that,
Overtown.
Yeah, because that then, I just been listening to the whole conversation, and I'm just
right.
trying to compartmentalize this shit, boo. And it don't even
well,
sound right, because just because your daddy was a crackhead, it ain't like he turned to a life of selling dope at 3 years old, had an AK, then end up in juvenile at 4, and then got into foster care.
No, let's
care
talk
at home.
About it. He did have a rough beginnings now. What is he? Is he from Overtown? I believe, you know, OT over there.
No,
well, he's from Browder County,
no.
right?
No, he's from Central. He's from Lakeland. Okay.
Okay, he's from Lakeland.
Saying. Everybody want to promote the gangster. Oh, woe is me.
The
dude gangsta. Had a good life. The dude was taken care of.
That's what it sounds like, BA.
But y'all want to make it sound as if, oh, the nigga came from nothing. When the truth of the matter is, a lot of kids, as you said, in Broward County. That's
mm-hmm.
really in tough shape. Ain't like Ray Lewis. Ain't had nobody step up to the plate. It's I'll be your daddy. I'll be
okay,
your father.
Okay, so did you see
that.
The Rachel? So you saw the Rachel story, right? So what story did they depict with that one?
The story that they showed with that was simply he wanted to know why was it that he never could establish a relationship with his biological father
mm-hmm.
when it was obvious that his dad. He said, "Look, man." I only have you. I had two or three other women pregnant at the same time. And he was on crack. And when Ray signed his first contract, he came snooping around. Man, can your daddy get $5,000? And Ray gave him the money and he heard from him. And then one day, he got in the car with Ray, went down
uh-huh.
I-95, and went down North Carolina and met Ray's biological grandfather.
Mm-hmm.
And his grandfather said, I wasn't shit either. Okay? I wasn't in my son's life. Ooh, and that's supposed to be good television for us. And that's why your daddy wasn't shit. Because I wasn't shit. And that's why you ain't shit. Because all of us. So we got to break the cycle. We're going to break the cycle. So I'm just saying, I'm big sad. I didn't see the documentary he's talking about, and I apologize. You know, I was going
yeah,
based on the one that I saw.
Story. That's the one I
yeah,
seen.
But it don't sound like
it
doesn't sound like that Ray had a bad fucking life because his daddy was a crackhead.
Well,
his daddy
this
had
is
other
what I know.
Pregnant.
I tell you
no,
this.
No.
I tell you
yeah,
this. I tell
you
this. This is what he ran with the wrong crowd. He got into a. He still got into a you know, his
yeah,
had fair share to run in with the law. Huh?
That was later on in his football
oh,
career.
Oh, no. This is even during the University of Miami days.
This nigga went to college now. He had a great
I
fucking
mean,
life.
He played
college.
Football. That's why he went to college. Shit.
Exactly. But the way I've been listening to this shit, y'all, I'm thinking that this motherfucker was a troubled fucking child and daddy wasn't shit. He was in the trouble. Mama gone.
I'm
all of a sudden,
he had his
some
moments.
White family, can I tell you what I was thinking? Somewhat based on y'all conversation, some white
uh-huh.
family picked his little ass up, dusted his ass off, and put his ass in, goddamn it, you know, mm-hmm, that shit.
No.
Did a goddamn Sandra Bullock on this nigga.
No, we were talking about the other people like Kaepernick. That was from Kaepernick.
Yeah,
who had the white parents who quote unquote.
Well, Ray Lewis don't sound like he had a bad childhood, boo.
I'm saying he had it, but he still had his run ins with the law as a youth.
In college
whether he came in Lakeland, Florida or Broward County. Oh, yeah. Check that story at University of Miami, them goddamn
yeah,
hurricanes.
Yeah, but that's not technically a youth, man. I swear to God.
I mean,
like,
you
when
go
I hear, 18, when I hear
huh?
somebody, some, when I hear a story from shit to sugar, a life
mm-hmm.
from shit to sugar,
right.
I really know what the fuck that shit is.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
This nigga
right.
life don't say that. It seemed like the same thing somebody else said earlier on the show. They're just trying to make it look like his life was from shit to sugar.
Mm-hmm.
It's all about his fucking crackhead daddy. That's nothing. That's not a shit to sugar life. You don't fucking, that's not. I know what a shit to sugar life is. So, yeah, they could just be trying to, you know, pull out some sympathy, some side, you know, some emotions from
right.
the fucking viewers. But this nigga ain't had no fucking hard knock life.
I said,
no.
but he's made plenty of terrible decisions on who he ran with, like I said, because that goes back to 2000 when he ran with all them niggas, them gangsters. that got his ass caught up.
Yeah, he all, let me say, and also Ray's mother, they even interviewed her.
Right.
But from a, she seemed like a very honest, down-to-earth, sensible woman.
Right.
She, you know, she ain't loud. She ain't trying to embarrass him. She ain't on the sideline fighting with the other players. It's trying to be
right.
Like,
he has an older mother, if I'm not mistaken. His mother, yeah, she's more reserved, yeah.
But I'm not, you know, and that Miami football thing, you know, yeah, Ray was, I think, one of his roommates.
Was wild. That's the way his roommate got murdered. Them niggas was wild.
Let's not get that
twisted. Them niggas was wild.
Yeah, you're right. But I'm saying, mm-hmm. I mean, my man, who's the guy, who the movie star now, Dan? Damn, the movie star, the guy,
The Rock,
was,
Dwayne Johnson,
yeah.
The Rock. Yeah, they always on that team. I know that whole motherfucking team. Jesse Armistead and all that shit.
I used to watch
that. I was a young, you know, young girl, but you know, I had a love for the game even back then, watching them play coming up. So niggas was wild, wearing fatigues and shit. Yeah, running with Luke and all that shit they was doing. Shit,
niggas was. Yeah.
Yeah, it was getting that hot money and everything else. But, you know, but I just find it interesting that, you know, they always want to throw a nigga's past up. So, all like I said, because he's using the whole Jesus thing, he's been heavy on Jesus, like, the last couple weeks. I think he's been heavy on Jesus. I mean, his shirts and his undershirt and shit under his jersey was like Psalms 34, you know. So, when you do that... In public, they're going to come after you.
Thank the Lord. He let me get through this one, not the team. Let me get through this one, you know. Let me get this win, like, you know. Like you playing tennis or some shit, you know what I'm saying?
Right. Let me get to this other call. We got another call. This is a good combo, man. But we still ain't even hit on this fucking tainted-ass situation with Tim, because I love me some Tim Brown. He's Texas finest, you know what I'm saying, and straight up all American. And they really trying to make this nigga look, you know, crazy. And I really don't appreciate this. And them Sambo niggas who work for ESPN and all these other outlets who is jumping on Bill Callahan's bandwagon is straight bullshit. And I really want to hit on that before we go into some other things. So I'm going to open up 267-970. Your mic is open. Can I get a mic check? You're surviving the game.
1-2-1-2, and I say.
Yeah, was this Universal more? What's going on with you, Universal?
I'm chilling.
Straight
out
of Philly. Chilling in the building.
Yeah. Philly. What's up, Don? Peace to everybody else on the line. I'm just, you know, feeling fine. I had a little cup of wine, you know. And I'm listening. You know, I don't know.
What would a Friday night be without more having a cup of wine?
Yeah, you know, it's just a cup, you know what I'm saying? I had a cup of wine about 3 weeks, you know, been on my grind, and now I want to speak. So it's like this. I don't know a lot about sports, but I know enough to survive the game, and that's real.
That's what's
and up. What I know about it, you know, it's a lot of emotion and intellect put into it, but it all really comes down to profit. Some of these guys is cannons. They wild. They really don't have no, what's the word? The word etiquette. Not the etiquette word, but the other word that y'all use is perfect for that. I can't remember. But at any rate, these
decorum.
Niggas don't have
decorum. You mean decorum?
Decorum.
There you go.
Decorum. There you go. That's it. And see, they like that because if a nigga don't have no decorum and you using him to make your money, you can control him with that because it's easy to blackmail a nigga when he's doing something he ain't supposed to do. And if it's more profitable for you to protect him while he's making money for you than it is to get him out of trouble, then you're going to keep getting him out of trouble because it's profitable. But when you start fucking up and getting old and your bones, joints and shit get rusty and your brains ain't working right and the fucked up life that you had allowed yourself to live from the blessings that you got from being a slave and that shit start making you trite, you know what I'm saying? Then they start phasing you out and seeing how profitable it will be to phase you out. So, you know, I'm listening to this, and it's straight on some Lifetime drama shit that y'all are talking about. The names, I don't know who these people are, but this is the same kind of energy that I see poured into things. You know, I stand around and see niggas holding, you know, cameras while girls get their ass beat on the street and loading it up to World Star Hip Hop, and mm-hmm. niggas do nothing. They look at it and standing with the cameras and laughing shit. But when a touchdown is made, when the pass is made and the hoop is made, niggas
right.
jump out of their seats with so much energy and enthusiasm. This shit is really a mind game to me. It's a mind.
So you're talking
me.
About the game of football in general is a mind game, right? Just like
it
distraction
is.
Of keeping niggas in the days and all that shit, right?
Oh yeah, definitely. But what
I mean,
like
we
about
we know,
this show.
You know what? I know all that shit. I know about the
yeah.
slave master mentality and how football is a fucking distraction. But you know what?
Yeah.
Some people like watching fucking reality shows for their distraction. Some people like the fucking smoke crack for their distraction. Some people like to do a lot of shit for their distraction. My fucking distraction that I appreciate is the fucking sporting world. Let me tell you. You know what I'm
and
saying?
See,
so
and I love
and
I that. That's the, it
okay.
always comes down on your show to
mm-hmm.
the real truth of the matter, because you start
mm-hmm.
talking about sports and then it
mm-hmm.
be on some real basic common. You know,
mm-hmm.
and that's what I love, because people get caught up in it.
Yeah, I mean, goddamn, it's not to be, you don't live and die by a motherfucker scoring a touchdown. You don't live and die if the
yeah.
team went on a five-game losing streak. Are you serious? You don't get emotionally
yeah.
involved in this bullshit.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? You don't let a game that you, a team jersey, you let fuck up the rest of your week and make you shitty towards your family. Okay? Because I know people who do that shit, but that's not what you
yeah.
do. You know what I'm saying? You have to always have your psychic self-defense up, and you just see this shit for what it is. It ain't nothing but the past fucking time.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
Period. Some people like to fish. Motherfucker, I like to watch sports, and I fish, but anyway. Mm-hmm.
But, see, you know, the fish tastes better than the jersey.
No. I have some. No. What I was going to say is, now, I totally agree with your perspective, because everybody got their fucking distraction, and that was well said and well
mm-hmm.
put. On the other end, I wanted to say, though, like, for instance, now, what I did notice was the repetition of the same thing every Super Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
If it ain't fucking Mike Vick and the dog, it's fucking, you know, the dude from Tampa Bay and his fucking knee. What the dude was, the black dude that went to the Super Bowl. Then, you know, the next time is now it's Tony Dungy and his son getting killed. And then now it's Ray Lewis and that shit. Just every Super Bowl, they come up with a drama queen story to have people to get caught up in the rapture of that shit. Now, it is important that people don't know, be told that. I agree with you, Nev, though, that everybody on this fucking show just about know and announce that they understand that they ain't no fucking fan addict.
Right.
So I just want to add the repetition, though. That's definitely something that could be discussed, though, enough that they bring that shit up every Super Bowl. They give you the sad case.
Oh, it always has to be, like Don said, the shit to sugar, the rags to riches story.
Yeah.
I mean, guys, it's sensationalism. Sports is sensationalism
yeah.
as at its finest. You know what I'm saying?
Mm.
Come on, they
yeah,
got to
so
be able on the
other
hand, lines up.
So on the other hand, to take a note from Don as well, is just
mm-hmm.
know this lesson then,
mm-hmm.
that all those sports athletes are actors.
Yeah,
and
right,
if people stop expecting for it to be something real or the outcome to be real or
mm-hmm.
stop thinking that they watching something real and get caught up in the rapture and just
right.
watch it as entertainment,
right.
now we all can watch it on an equal level with
right.
common sense and really judge the game.
Right. Because, you know, that should be funny to me, man. You know, like, I don't like motherfuckers telling me, oh, you shouldn't be watching this and you shouldn't be watching that, it's all this. Motherfucker, I know that. Everybody has
yeah.
things that they like doing, okay? Some people escape through a fucking nonfiction book.
You know, yep. Shit. Yeah. So, you know, don't you know, motherfuckers be reading murder mysteries and shit. So, come on. You know, right. don't give
and
me that shit.
Porn and everything else now.
You know? Niggas watch porn.
Hey, yeah,
I watch porn, all kind of shit.
Yeah. I never would tell or dictate anything to anybody else, but like you said, like
right.
Don said, it's so many different views that you got to see it for what it really is.
Absolutely,
and you do. And not only do the people that follow it get caught up, but, you know, there's, you know, beyond the indoctrination that goes on, like, they do have reps that coach them on what to say, what not to say, how to speak,
mm-hmm.
you know, and it's all about the image that they cast out, because that's represented in sales and profits. And not
Absolutely.
Only do the followers get caught up, but the players get caught up, too. You know what
Absolutely.
I'm saying? And they just play them on out like everybody, just the number, demographic.
Right.
You know what
I mean? Goddamn, you're a resource. You know what I'm saying? It's
yeah.
Like I said, it's only a couple of athletes who I've really seen who have illustrated that they know what the fuck they are, which is a walking corporation. It's only few. It's only a few.
Ooh.
You know, Darrell Revis being one of them. And I find it interesting that they're trying to get rid of his ass in New York. You know, he's one of the first athletes of this generation that he said, I'm a fucking corporation, meaning I want a new contract every time I outplay that bitch. You're not holding me to a 5-6 year contract. He's saying, when I outplay this shit, you pay me for what I did. Just like I remember Don always say with people, you know, pay me when I do my work. Pay me. Don't pay me 2 and 3 weeks.
Hey.
Down the line, pay me when I'm done. You know, as far as the athlete concerned, you have contracts. So he's saying in a contract
right.
where in a sport where I get no guarantees for my contract, because I can get my leg broken, you fucking throw me to the side. I'm a corporation.
Mm-hmm.
Pay me for what I'm doing
right.
now.
Hey,
you
now,
know
the
what I'm saying?
Shit,
if you're gonna
you
be in
be.
It, you know,
that's the realest shit you could ever be in that game.
Right.
For real, that
mean. Mm-hmm. So that's what
yeah,
that
let me chime in right
go
quick.
Ahead before I get into this other call. Go ahead.
Yeah, let me
I see you
right
I see you 843. I see you 843. Hold on, we're gonna get to you.
You this is a great show.
Mm-hmm.
Great contributions coming from all over from everybody now.
Right.
What you just said about you respect athletes who understand that they are corporations.
Right.
Nobody does that better than Lance Armstrong. Lance Armstrong knew his game. If you
right.
listen to the testimony, what else, Lance Armstrong really was not Lance Armstrong. He was Lear Strong, his nonprofit foundation, his corporation. Everything
right.
he did, everything went through that corporation, tax
right.
free.
He knew that was his moneymaker. He knew he was no fool.
All of his whole relationship with Nike did not pay him.
No,
Nike
they
did
didn't
not
have
pay
to.
Lance. It made, they made
hey.
Donations. To his nonprofit.
To his organization, to the nonprofit.
Yeah.
Michael Jordan did better than Lance Armstrong, though, in that department.
Oh, yeah.
And I'll tell you why.
Mm-hmm.
Michael Jordan earned more of his royalties than any person, not just athlete. He get more royalties off of his product and the sale of his name than any person in the whole world.
That's right.
Everybody in the world get around 1 to 3%.
Mm-hmm.
If they the highest paid, they get 7%. Michael Jordan gets about 25% of all his fucking royalties. Lance
well, yeah.
Armstrong, nobody in the world can fuck with that nigga. Not for his business and knowing he a corporation. That nigga got his own shoe out of Nike.
Right, he got
Jumpman.
He went out and got his own line. He went out and got his own whole separate thing. You know, it not
yeah.
only became like
no,
niggas
no,
like
boy.
Niggas like LeBron, niggas like Kobe, they have a shoe within Nike. Michael Jordan said, nigga, Jumpman is mine.
Exactly.
Okay? He said, you'll be my distributor. Nike, you'll distribute
right.
my shoe, but Jumpman is me.
That's right.
You know what I'm saying?
And he knew his leverage enough.
Right.
He said, if I can't get my fucking shoe, then
yeah.
I won't fucking use my name. We'll just cut the deal. Fuck Nike. Fuck
right.
you.
Fuck
yeah. I mean,
they said, okay,
the
okay, we bow the fuck down. We'll go ahead on and give you the shoe and give you the profit.
Like I said, so since, you know, and it'd behoove these niggas to really
look at those who really laid that foundation, such as your Michael Jordan. So I always find it interesting when he takes on young men like Carmelo Anthony and when he had Randy Moss. Was he really teaching these niggas about the biz when they were actually spokespeople for his Jumpman line? Always wondered that. Are you sitting these niggas down and telling them how they can capitalize off of their name, or are you just using them like the other corporations do?
Well, Jones had his own business after dealing with Mike. Randy Moss actually runs a NASCAR truck. He's got a NASCAR truck team. Michael Jordan's got a motorcycle team. So, I mean,
that nigga got a Ducati team, don't he?
Yeah,
Team Ducati.
He schooled him. I mean, Randy's not hurting.
No. I just always wonder that. Is he teaching, because I'm saying when you take these young niggas, like, I think he even got a couple boxers. I remember Roy Jones was fucking with him for a minute, was one of his major sponsors. I always wonder, does he pass on the inner workings of branding? You know, because you would think that these niggas would be well more financially secure than what they are.
D-Wade got his own shoe now.
Michael Jordan is very fucking competitive, I'll tell you that.
You ain't lying, Babylon. So you always wonder, when that shit goes on, do they really want a nigga to know?
Exactly.
That's something to think of. Because, because it's people now who have the name recognition worldwide to compete. A la Kobe Bryant. And so on and so forth. You know what I'm saying? I mean, shit, Derek Jeter is a big Jumpman representative. And we know Derek Jeter is Mr. fucking Baseball.
Hall of Famer.
Hey, wait.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
I want you to hold your thoughts just 1 second because I want to bring in this caller. They've been patiently waiting. I want to bring in 843-240. Can I get a mic check? Your mic is open. They playing music. They partying, listening to the show. 843-240. That's what's up. I like that. Niggas is partying, listening to the show. I can't be mad at that. That's what's up. That's what we do right here.
All right.
So,
MJ, I give it up. MJ, he was the one who, he even took Dwayne Wade from Converse.
Michael Jordan?
Yeah,
that's right.
Mm. Right, he did. He was with a Converse, but like
now
I said,
Dwayne,
man,
got his own Japanese shoe, don't he? A Chinese shoe. Dwayne Wade, he got his own shoe now.
Oh, well, you know what? I think you're right. I heard that shit in the rap.
Yeah, he got his own shoe.
I heard that shit in the rap. Matter of fact, my nigga Mayhem said that shit in the rap. Big ups to Young Mayhem. That nigga was the one who said something about I got money like Dwayne Wade, and he said something about the Chinese fucking thing. Yeah. Shout out to Mayhem. That's where that just came to me. Because I'm like, I heard it in the fucking rap. Y'all don't know who Mayhem is right now, but you will. I tell you that.
Yeah. That right. Do your thing right now. Big up.
So, like I said, man, I want y'all to hold real tight, man, because I'm getting ready to take a quick break. And I want all you motherfuckers, I love this, I like all these men. I just love being surrounded by men. This is beautiful shit. So we're going to take a real quick break, and we're going to come back, and we're going to really get into this this scandal, man. This fucking scandal. I like this shit. So let's go. You know, niggas need to get this money.
I got a kind of side here having a big day. leg pain. Don't get mad cause some dude thinks you just can't. My man, you need to get back like the rebate. And biddies need to step up like the home plate. My man, now what you know about the Great Lakes? We contemplate on getting money like the sweepstakes. Sipping dark grapes, party in the dark shade. You see your rookie code chiller like a Marley. Mar and biddies ride like a Harley. Money maker, the Rico Suave. Hey, radio play that's like arcades. Every day the holidays, some niggas stay paid. Celebrate the holidays with the money. Ain't about to pay some niggas. Say you wait.
Hey, 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 hey. What you say? Get this money. If it's safe, what you gonna do today? Just say, hey, I wanna get paid. Hey, 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 hey.
Somebody said that radio would never ever play. Some of that Detroit Motor City foreplay. Honestly, earning my dough, keeping it real, y'all. Counting my cash, showing you how to boss ball. I never thought that we would make it up this far. Gripping my cream color Cadillac, North Star. Detroit Motor City finest, it's who we are. This is for my ladies who get out, chill at the bar. This is for my ladies who get out, chill at the bar.
When I was a young boy, chilling in my daddy's nuts. All I could hear was a rhyme and dope cuts. Growing up thinking I was nothing but a glut. Another day, another book, another slut. All I wanna do is get paid. Uptown, don't stop.
I want to get paid every day. That's what they need to be saying every day, every day. Give it to me every day. Shit, so you're back. This is Surviving the Game. You know, we've been going over some things, talking about these sports, man. You know, this is just, I love it, talking sports, surrounded by all these men. That's what's up. I want to say shout out to King Vita. I seen King Vita up in the building. I see Brother Sin 7, Sakim Ra, all them hanging out with us. That's what's up. You know, crowd, I already said what's up to crowd pleasing everybody. So, Alakazam just entered the building. What's going on, Alakazam? Welcome to the show, you know. So, that's what it is. So, where were we at here? We were just talking about, you know, brothers Brandon and all that stuff. I mean, that's, you know, they need to be able to do that because that's really where their longevity is going to come because it's never going to come on a goddamn playing field, you know. It's never going to come on the playing field because your time is short-lived. I can tell you that from experience. It's always, you know, most careers last 4 or 5 years. You're lucky if you can get 10 in, you know what I'm saying? And most of them want to play to get to that pension. So that's what that comes to. But I just wanted to hit on this scandal real quick. I'm going to play, I'm going to play this clip. And I want you to hear, this is Jerry Rice speaking about what Tim Brown said about Bill Callahan sabotaging Super Bowl. I don't know, what is that, 1, 2, 30, 35, or 10, 20, 30. What is V, y'all? What's the number, Roman numeral for V? I know X is 10.
Five,
okay. V is 5, so you got 10, 30, 35, 36. Oh, Super Bowl 37. All right, so listen in.
To get to here, let's try and go through a checklist here one by one. Is it your recollection as well that the game plan changed on Friday before the Super Bowl?
Yes, it did. I was very surprised by that because you worked all week long running the football. Then all of a sudden on that given Friday, we decided that we were going to come out and throw the ball over 60 times. And I think what Bill...
That's Jerry Rice speaking, people.
Tim Brown is accusing him of is that why would you wait to the last second to change the game plan?
Do you think that in any way Bill Callahan was, as Tim Brown asserted, he was trying to sabotage the Raiders' chances of winning the game?
I think with Tim Brown, you know, he'd been with the Raiders longer, and I recall when I first went to the Raiders, for some reason, and I don't know why, Bill Callahan, he did not like me, and he was that type of coach, and some of the things that happened, you know, with him walking off the field, doing the game, you know, not being happy about certain situations. And I was very surprised that he waited to the last second. And I think a lot of the players, they were surprised also. So in a way, maybe because he didn't like the Raiders, he decided that, hey, look, maybe we should sabotage just a little bit and let John Gruden go out and win this one.
So when you say that, Jerry, you're basically saying this guy, Bill Callahan, as a head coach, was willing to sacrifice potential careers as a head coach by letting the other team win.
And let me stop right there because, I'm tired of these talking heads on these sports shows acting like a coach is above reproach when it comes to throwing shit. These people know that they are in a fraternity of coaches. They will always get another fucking job. Come on, let's look at just what just happened. Andy Reid goes 4-10 or 4-12. He gets a job immediately. A coach like Lovie Smith wins 10 games who's a brother and can't get a job. So people like Callahan who've been with these on these coaching staffs forever know that they will always get another job. You know what I'm saying? Come on. It's a carousel of coaching, okay? Very few. It's literally a fraternity. So for him to say, come to say, well, why would he risk his coaching legacy, because he's always guaranteed another job. All he got to do is call one of his boys. That's all he got to do, you know. And the fact is that Bill Callahan did not like the Oakland Raiders. He couldn't stand old-ass Al Davis, you know what I'm saying? And people say, well, why would he take a job there? Because it's a paycheck. That's why he took it. And his homeboy was the head coach. You know, this is a coach who walked out on his team, who called his team the dumbest team in fucking America, people. This is shit that was going on. So, and it was always fishy about, it was always like, why would, like I said, and I'm telling you like this, Jerry Rice and Tim Brown are two of the most esteemed, straight up lace niggas that you can even know in football, real talk. And like I said, Jerry Rice is a champion, been a champ. He know how game plans go. He's been in plenty of Super Bowls, and he know damn well that you don't change a game plan literally a day before the biggest game that you're going to play. Who does that? No one does that. Say, oh, we've been playing this way all year, but you know what? It's Friday. Let's change all that shit up, and let's go throw the ball 100 times, you know? So no one does that, and did he, and it's not far-fetched to say that he threw up plans to give the goddamn game plan to John Gruden, knowing that Tampa played a cover two. Tampa two is what they always play, to go ahead and throw that ball every single time. Tampa two, I know Big Sav is a coach, that's one of the toughest throwing defenses you can play it. So he threw the ball 61 times. Picked five times, one throw for an interception. Three for touchdowns. So, for all these media people to be jumping on Tim Brown, talking about he's crazy. I love Jerry Rice for coming out and saying that's bullshit. And like I said, when that dude went AWOL, that fucking center went AWOL, Barrett Robbins, where they found his ass in Mexico, it came to be said that Tim and them, he was in a team meeting on that Friday night and said, you cannot change the game plan on me like this at the last second. You cannot do that to me. And the reason why, anybody who knows what a center is, he's the fucking quarterback of the offense. I mean, he makes all the calls. You know what I'm saying? So for you to make drastic change to your game plan within a day, your center's not going to be able to get all that down. So he said, fuck it. And that's why he went AWOL. It wasn't because he was on he was bipolar and all that shit. He was like, fuck this. We already know you setting us up to lose.
That's so, right.
You know what I'm saying? So the big thing is everybody saying, why now? Why is he saying it 10 years later? Because you know what? Callahan is up for a big position. So, yeah, I'm glad they saying, no, fuck Callahan. He ain't a good dude. He'll fuck over anybody if he has the opportunity to do it. You know? So that's what I'm saying. I'm like, big up to Tim Brown. I like Tim Brown, man. Tim Brown's a stand-up dude. Met him years ago out here in Oakland when I was shopping for a Volvo, when I thought I was going to get me a Volvo. He was at the fucking dealership signing autographs.
Now, let's not forget that one thing. I mean, I remember that Super Bowl. I remember when Tampa beat them.
Mm-hmm. 48-21 to be exact.
Right. I mean, they beat the brakes off of them.
Mm-hmm.
But what we have to also understand is that they didn't change that offense from when Gruden left. It was the same offense, the same audibles, the same play tendencies. Everything was the same. So Gruden already knew if they was showing blitz and it was going to come from the outside, that old boy was going to check down to this play. Why? Because he's the one that put the offense in.
That's right.
So if I play against an offense that I've designed and I know this guy's tendencies, oh, man, I'm going to kill you every time. I mean, people don't want him. I mean, I understand Tim Brown and Jerry Rice. You know, I can dig that. But the bottom line is you can't run my program and think you're going to beat me running my program.
Okay, so I see what you're saying. I mean, and to be honest, you sound like the other them talking heads, like Antonio Pierce and them motherfuckers. You got your ass kicked. The fact is this. Then if that's the case, if you know he implemented that, why do you wait until the eve, damn near the eve of the game, to switch the game plan? Why do you
that's
do that?
That's on you. That's your day.
No,
that's
my
between,
point is that, my point is that shit doesn't get done. My point is that doesn't get done, Big Sav.
If you
was going
to change
Sav,
it.
Who am I talking to?
Yeah, you're talking to Big Sal. Now, if you remember, they've been running the same offense the whole time. They didn't change their offense.
Bullshit, who you been reading?
I mean, you had like Oakland was running the ball.
They was. I mean, goddamn. They were a deep dunk. They were a deep. Let me do that. They were a deep. They were a
Big Sal.
Right. They were a dink and dunk. Cross route ass offense. It was all set up by their running game. You had John Ritchie, Zach Crockett, fucking Tyrone Wheatley, and Charlie Gardner. All that shit in the back. Everything that they did was based off of their running game. Okay.
That was one of Gannon's best years ever passing the ball.
We know he was the MVP.
He was one of the. He had some of the best numbers. So you telling me that they was just running it? No, it's not like they went from running power eye ball to now we going to run the spread. That's not what happened. What happened was is Rich, you have to admit it, John Gruden was an offensive guru. He was. That's why he fooled with the quarterbacks right now. He was an offensive guru.
My bad man ain't an offensive guru shit.
Okay.
Tell me another you tell me another fucking quarterback that he's even raised up to be halfway decent. I'll wait.
Halfway decent?
Yeah. Give me another quarterback. Give me one
of the did he win the Super Bowl?
Nigga, that was Tony Dungy's team. Tell me
that
one person he dropped.
Tell me one quarterback. Who was the quarterback? Trent Dilfer?
No,
was it Johnson? Brad Johnson.
Tell me one quarterback that John Gruden drafted and groomed to be a fucking player in this league.
That's not what we're asking. I didn't say that. The dude, being an offensive guru don't mean you can draft very well. I know a whole bunch of people that can't pick out a car to save their life but can drive their ass off. You see what I'm saying? So that's not what I'm talking about. What I'm saying is the same offense that the Oakland Raiders ran to get to the Super Bowl is the same one that Gruden left. They didn't change shit.
Okay, now, Big Sal, the one thing that you ain't looking at, though, and what the player was looking at that left the game and went AWOL.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you know it's more to the game, especially a Super Bowl game or a big-time game like that. You practice 2 weeks doing the same fucking plays. It's like a rehearsal, dress rehearsal.
Dress
like
rehearsal, exactly
band.
What it is.
So then all the timing got to be on point. This nigga need to go 10 yards and make the fucking cut left. And stop at the 3 steps and then run back 2 steps and the ball gonna be right there. So this nigga gotta remember that shit during the game. He ain't got time for the motherfucking punch at the last minute to say, hey, we gonna do some whole new shit.
Yeah, we talking about the center.
We're talking about the center.
Okay, if it is the same offense, it ain't the plays that we were practicing.
I can
would definitely fuck up timing.
Okay.
That would definitely fuck up timing.
I mean, in regards to timing, Don said Hood is the same regardless of what offense you're running. Now,
say again?
I said Don said Hood, regardless of what offense you run, Don said Hood is the same in regards to the timing when it comes to the trenches.
But not to the routes that you run and shit of that caliber.
But the center not running no routes?
I mean, but he's calling out blitzes and everything else. He got to be
So regardless if it's a run or a pass, I'm still calling out the same blitz, correct?
No, it's not.
If it's
a run
or a pass, you're still calling out the same blitz. It still looks the same to you.
That's how they make niggas jump outside. You can get a first down, fuck around with the cadence.
Right, so regardless
ball,
if I'm running
the side
offense
of the ball,
A or offense B, that's
now,
same,
if you doing
that,
the cadence
that
right, it ain't no hook one, hook two. I don't know where you play football at, but
yeah,
you go to a fucking game, it's a cadence. It's a song that you got there.
Right, but listen to what I'm just saying to you. But listen to what I'm just saying to you. Your cadence doesn't change regardless if you run in a power eye or a spread. It doesn't change. Down, said Hut. However you want to say it, it's still the same. If you want the hard count, you still got the hard count. So what I'm talking about is in regards to that center, in regards to the center, his blocking assignments don't change because the routes might have changed.
Nope, but his timing changed. If you send that over the ball, right, that's a very vulnerable position. They already admit that. That the center is vulnerable holding the goddamn ball bent down. And then he got to wait on the quarterback cadence to finish. If he snapped the ball too early, that fuck up the play, everybody outside. If he snapped the ball too late, that fuck up the play, everybody outside.
So what you're telling me is that a quarterback.
Look, this is all I want to say about this whole thing. The fact is this. It's protocol leading up to the biggest game of the year, is it not? Is it not protocol? I mean, things that are going, that
I mean,
regularly
there,
going.
There's a game plan that should have been implemented 2 weeks prior to.
So my point is this. You don't change that shit on Friday.
I mean,
When the game is played on Sunday, you just don't do that.
That's not what I'm arguing.
So my point is this. This is what I'm saying. Hold on, Sal. I'll let you get it in. What I'm saying is this. You don't change shit up on Friday and think that shit ain't suspicious. That's all I'm saying. So Tim Brown and Jerry Rice got every right to say we feel like we were set up to fail.
Okay.
Period.
Right.
You just don't do that. Jerry Rice has been in plenty Super Bowls knowing you don't change shit up on Friday.
And this is what I'm saying.
What I'm saying is that
in regards to cadence, regardless of what type of offense you run, the quarterback's cadence doesn't change. Now, some wide receiver's routes might change. Somebody's blocking responsibility might change a bit. Something of that nature. But in regards to cadence, no. So I don't agree with that, and I'm not going to agree with that.
But you can't say that it doesn't have an adverse effect to a player on the field.
That's
wrong. You got to let me defend my situation, though, because he's saying the cadence. Obviously, he don't know what cadence is because of the simple fact that if it's a run play, this is how the quarterback communicate to the rest of the line, rest of the offense, who gets cadence. He can change the play by saying,
Man, check me out. 42 dive is 42 dive, regardless of if I'm in an I formation, if I'm in a pistol formation, if I'm in a one-back formation. A dive is still a dive. So in regards to that line and the cadence, it doesn't change. The only thing, if it did change, then check me out. If because of a play call you changed your cadence, then that's a giveaway. That lets the other people know what you're running. Oh, shit, he done said her 3 times. It's a pass. Oh, shit, he done said her 2 times. It's a run. You see what I'm talking about? So it doesn't change because of that.
I mean, I understand both of y'all points, but I'm just coming to this. I just go to this. It's just you don't change up on the Friday before the biggest game on Sunday. That's just some shit that doesn't go on.
And to put that shit above reproach about
a bastard like Callahan who couldn't stand Al Davis, who couldn't stand the organization in which he was collecting a check to say, fuck y'all, I'm sabotaging this game and I'm going on about my business. What happened promptly the next year? The motherfuckers went 4-12 and he walked.
Well, here's my question now. I got two questions. Number one, is he still alive?
Yes, he is.
Okay, so he know why.
you know, he can clarify if that happened and if that, you know, sort of threw him off
kilter. Sure can.
And made him lead the team the night before the Super Bowl. And second, here's my second question now. Why in the hell a man who is wise, as knowledgeable as Al Davis, mm-hmm. a man that created the merger,
mm-hmm.
why in the hell when he fired Gruden, why didn't he get a clean slate? Why did he bring in his boy Callahan to run the team? Why didn't he go out
and
get a coach?
I mean, but shit, Black achievement, you got it's all kind of stipulations. Maybe he couldn't get the guy he wanted after the firing. You got to take, I mean, everybody don't be available, the ones that you want. So you, what they call a fucking stopgap. So who already know to keep shit intact is his damn right-hand man. You know what I'm saying?
No,
because that team was a veteran-laden team with a whole bunch of people who had 10-plus years under their belt. So he's saying, if I can't get the motherfucker I want, I'm going to get the person who already know how the system is being run. You know what I'm saying?
But I'm going to say, that's strange, Steph. You can't go in 10 years. I mean, Black Monday, coaches coming and going all the time. I've never heard of an owner firing the head coach and hiring his offensive coordinator to coach the team. That's just rare as hell. That just don't happen.
I'm saying, everybody don't get who they want if they not available. And you can't think that he's going to change a system, because when you bring in another head coach, that means you're going to change the system. And he like, I got veterans who got a 1 or 2 year window. I'm not changing all that shit up.
Well,
he's
no
saying I
got to
stick with somebody that I'm familiar with. Regardless
well,
if this bastard likes me or not.
Go bring Arshell in the game then. Go get him.
Man,
please.
We saw what fucking happened with Arshell.
Right.
But
all right, then. Thank you. All right. Thank you.
So that's what I'm saying. So that's why that whole thing went down. You know what I'm saying? And then I hear people, oh, damn, Babylon dropped. He's back up, though. Let me open up. I got a couple other mics I got to open up. So, Babylon, your mic is back open.
Okay,
you on Bab? Okay, and I got 318-512. Your mic is open. Welcome to Surviving the Game. Can I get a mic check?
Hi, Ness.
Hey, what's up? Who this?
Sky Taylor in the flesh.
Oh, shit. What's up, Sky? Yeah.
Tamika Bandy, she's with me. All hell down. I understand everything y'all saying. Callahan should have been shot in the motherfucking head. Straight the fuck up.
Hmm?
You heard me?
No, say it again.
I said Callahan should have been shot in the motherfucking head. Straight the fuck up. Jim Brown was on his last motherfucking game of his fucking career. Jerry Rice was already out the game. They should have gave him that. They did that shit for politics, man.
Yeah. What'd they do for politics?
Hey, they let them motherfuckers win. What the fuck do you mean?
Okay. I had to follow what you were saying. I had to catch on.
They politics that shit.
Politicking in one way, like they wanted Gruden to win it because it was the nigga who got fired behind him. What's the political?
Yes, it was political. All that shit meant some shit. But they should have gave Tim Brown that. He deserved that, man. They fucked up that man motherfucking career with that when they did that.
Yep.
That was last year out the game.
Mm.
Hey, you know something, though? I agree with you on the politics, because politics state that the nigga, the same nigga who you like now, Neff, meaning Tim Brown.
Right.
And that nigga just was the same nigga then that would have told the coach, hey, man, that's a foul-ass move. That's some bullshit. You sabotaging us? He told that nigga that shit then. That's
right.
Why he's saying it now.
Tim Brown ain't never held his tongue. TB ain't never held his tongue. Like I said, that's one of Texas' finest right there.
His teammates didn't step up.
So that's why the coach.
I mean, but he got a whole bunch of fucking
stepping
and fetching ass teammates. Come on, man. These people are worried about their damn job.
I mean, y'all just lost a
$250,000
bonus because you just got the Barracks beat off of you in the Super Bowl. I'm speaking.
That's supposed to win that Super Bowl, though.
I mean,
the Raiders was a 3-point favorite. I see crowd pleasers saying they wasn't going to win it.
Yeah, no.
The motherfuckers was a 3-point favorite in that game.
But you can't deny it. I mean, defense wins championships. Come on now. I mean, you saw what happened.
Playmaking win defenses, championships, goddammit.
You say what?
playmaking
on
when he wins championships.
If you look at that guy,
St. Louis proves to you,
St. Louis won a championship, that
you can't do that.
St. Louis Rams won a championship. Were they known for their defense?
Yeah, but how many did they lose?
Two. I mean, what you talking about? One.
I mean,
my point is, it's all about who making plays on that fucking day, period.
You can't stop. You can't stop nobody, then we in a track meet.
All that was politicking right there with that game. That was the Raiders game. They cheated out.
That was their way to fuck Al Davis by old man.
Thank you, Ms. That's what I've been waiting on you to say.
Okay.
That's what I've been waiting on you to say.
Al Davis used to tell the NFL to kiss his white Italian ass.
On a regular basis.
Right.
He didn't apologize. Al Davis was in the class by himself.
You know, and this is what the other thing is. Some people was, I'm not here. This is the other talking heads before we go on to something else. You know, because we've been riding sports hard tonight. The other thing I heard was people say Al Davis was so involved with his coaching, there's no way he didn't know what was going on. Let me tell you something. A lot of that shit that going about that man is myth. Okay.
Okay.
That he, everybody. Hold on. Let me finish making this point. Hold on. Then you got it. A lot of that shit is myth about him controlling fucking everything, okay? He don't control shit no more than Robert Kraft was, because if anybody remember that bastard, anybody remember him? Remember the Big Tuna said, they want you to cook the dinner, but they won't let you shop for the ingredients. So what does that tell you? That's saying that he couldn't have full control. No fucking owner gives a coach full control of their organization. So all that shit about he was, you know, he had all this and he was controlling everything is a fucking lie. You know, all his coaches was puppets. Ask John Madden, was he a puppet? He'll say no. Ask Tom Flores, was he a fucking puppet? He will tell you no.
Jimmy Johnson, was he a puppet? No.
Right, so my point is, you know, that's myth. When it comes to that bullshit. And like I said, when it comes to it, they want to stick it to his old ass. And that's what you have. And that's what come of this whole thing. And that's just what I'm so all I got to say about that whole scandal was that, was the sabotage involved? I highly believe, I believe it was a sabotage game.
Sabotage involved.
Hey, let's just put this on there.
And he said, hold on.
This is the year that everybody is bringing up old shit.
They always bring up old shit. They need something to talk about for 2 weeks, don't they? Shit, it ain't nothing being played. Need something to talk about. Crosby said, ask Kiffin if he was a puppet, and he would say, hell yeah. Let me tell you something by Lion Lane. And I call him Lance Kiffin, just like that dirty little bastard. I wouldn't trust him with my goddamn child's tricycle. You know, because he don't know shit. He was the person that Al gave an opportunity to, and that young bastard tried to take advantage of him, period, dot, blank, okay? He's a fucking liar and a manipulator. That's why Tennessee told his ass to get out of town, and that's why USC is about to do the same thing. His name is Lion Lance. Lion Lane. Okay, that's what he is. And he deceives. He don't do nothing but use every young brother that comes through. When he sit them brothers on his couch and talk to their parents, he lying through his fucking teeth every time he sit and talking to a family. And that's what any person who got a son who's sitting with that bastard on your couch, you know that he's lying. You know what I'm saying? And you can call me Lance so I can tell you to your face. You're a liar. So that's what that is, man. And I'm going to have to mute Sky ass because she's talking. So that's what that comes out to, man. So, goddamn. So, man, that was Survive. That was the extended version of fucking sports talk. That's the longest I ever did sports talk on this show. That's what's up. So,
it was good.
Man. Yeah, that was good shit. I know I got a lot of people in the chat room that I see a whole bunch of I don't knows and you talking Chinese. I'm sorry, y'all. I'm sorry. I feel like, what? Who? What? What the fuck is y'all talking about?
It's cool. Now, we're allowed to go in on sports every now and then.
Right. I mean, goddamn. I am a sports connoisseur. You know what I'm saying? I mean, it wouldn't make any sense if if I didn't dabble into that. You know what I'm saying? But I also do, you know, hot topics and what the fuck is going on in this world. So, so we get ready to hit, okay, we getting ready to get into that because there's a lot of shit that's been popping off that's going on. Hey, first of all, I want to get into how many of y'all see the Django doll? Oh, I had to say Django, the D is silent. The Django doll. Come on, some of y'all got to tell me y'all seen the Django doll.
Not me.
You ain't seen the Django doll?
That's funny.
Yeah, they got the Django doll. They banning the damn Django doll. Why are they doing
yeah.
that, Evelyn? Why they banning
them?
They sell them on eBay.
They want to ban it. Like Barbie represents.
They got action figure Django.
Ness.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm going to call you from another 318 because it's not about that.
Okay, well, let me let everybody know. You got about, how much time y'all got? Y'all got about 39 minutes almost till we get to OT. So, yeah, you can go in and make that call. Go in and hang up Sky
okay.
and call back in. I'll let you back
all
in.
Right.
But, yeah, let's
all
talk
right.
about this motherfucking Django doll. Because
what's
they,
the problem with it,
Ness? I want to talk about it.
Huh?
I want to talk about it. I ain't even heard about it, Ness.
Yeah, I didn't hear it till my husband the other night told me about this goddamn Django doll and said that they were selling this shit. So this is what it is right here. Let me read a little bit. It says the commerce website eBay has banned the sale of Django Unchained action figures, of course, based off the movie. He said the movie toys was manufactured by toy maker NECA in partnership with the Weinstein Company. That's the executive producer, the Jews, the Weinsteins. Said after
okay.
protests from black advocacy groups, advocacy groups. Niggas always protesting shit. Why can't they have a doll? What's wrong with the Django doll?
But Neff, wait a minute. How about this? They have a show that comes on. I remember the music from it. It's a cartoon. They're upset because the doll appeals to children in a relation to slavery. But they got a cartoon that comes on public television, I think, every week where they telling the story of the Constitution and everything. And all throughout the whole fucking thing is slaves. So, you know, there's no difference between the cartoon character and the character as a doll. So why
right.
haven't they protested that shit?
That's what I'm saying, Moore. You know, they always selective. They told what to protest and what not to protest. You would think something that'll go through
yeah.
millions and millions of homes, such as something as a cartoon show, would be, you know, picketing and protesting to get that shit off the air. But no, they want to do the Django doll. I mean, and I'm looking at the Django doll. Let me put the – I can't put it in the damn chat room because it wouldn't let me in. But I can put it in the after party. And if somebody can bring it over to the BTR chat room, I would appreciate it. And
hey, shout.
But well, here's the
I'm
thing,
sorry.
Though. But here's the thing. Here's another point.
Mm-hmm.
Because they're selling, don't mean you got to be buying. Black
no.
folks always want to be consumers. Meaning, what I mean by that is these advocacy groups. I don't know who in the hell they are.
Right.
They out in front of the damn theaters telling people don't go see it because it made over $200 million. So
exactly.
if he's trying to capitalize on licensing, I
mm-hmm.
personally I don't have a problem with somebody that want to buy
a
Django doll.
Hey,
I mean,
Texas, y'all be surprised who started the movement, right?
Who?
Wendy
Williams?
She started the movement.
Wendy Look Like a Man Williams started
That's
it.
Right.
Wow.
That's
I,
right.
What was her beef about it? What was her? I don't watch her show, so
right.
I wouldn't know what the hell she talking about.
Right, when I seen a little piece on it, you know what I'm saying, she was just saying, thank y'all, we got the Django dolls taken off the market. You know, she didn't go into the market, you know, the whole, you know, why they started the whole movement on it or whatever. But she thanked her. She said, at least one thing we can do when we, look what we can do when we all bind together.
Wow. You see, I would love to hear that Shim's reasoning for getting it all, for getting that boycotted. Seriously, or do you think it's reinforcing a particular stereotype? Or, you know, because the doll don't look like a slave, to be honest with you. It looked like a Western cowboy, but it's a Nubian. To be honest,
that nigga don't replace.
I don't see
God
no
damn.
Chains on his. I don't see no chains. I see chains around the box, though. I see some chains.
Well, let me
around
tell you
the
this: it's a lot of people. I would love to get a Stephen Dow to as gifts. Okay, a lot of people out there.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you understand what I'm saying, more to you. But a lot of people out there, I love. I get that. Well, who's the actor played Stephen? Samuel Jackson. Man,
right.
if I can get that, as a lot of people, I would send that gift to. But they got no Stephen, man. That's all they are. A lot of people, I'd get that down to.
Well, I don't know. I mean, this is there's some people who would be like, go ahead, because some people saw him as that character
point.
As a very strong individual.
I think that movie had a good impact on people's pockets. They made a lot of money, and a lot of movies haven't made that much money that fast in that little bit of time for the 2013.
Right.
And the fact that they say, well, you know, Quentin Tarantino's already an outcast, and we're not going to let those niggas get any royalties, you know, so we're going to cause as much controversy. And then again, causing controversy also pushes sales of the dolls, too, because the controversy
thank
is intertwined
you.
With the doll, and it becomes
right.
a collector's
so
item.
So they become
there
a Kobe high, they'll be high in demand. So anybody who got it, you can get
exactly.
that shit off for $1,000 when it costs maybe a C-note, you know, whatever the case may
either
be.
Either way, I love it. Either way,
and
I love
because,
it. I'm going to go
and because Sambo dolls, they're collector's items today. They go for a king's
yeah.
ransom.
You damn right. I had a friend whose parents collected all those old ass
right.
bamboozle Sambo shit in their house.
Yeah,
the
and
they
worth
shit.
A lot of money.
Yeah, a lot of money.
A lot of money.
Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? But like I said, I could see if it was like I'm looking at this dog. I could see if it had like chains on his neck or on his feet, on his arm. I would have preferred it with a pistol. Where the damn pistol at? I hope we had a pistol. But that's what I prefer the dog have a goddamn pistol.
This
is what I'm saying, Neff. I want to know, if slavery did happen, and we know those people that's arguing and
mm-hmm.
saying that they don't like the Django doll, that they admit and believe that slavery took place. So
really?
Why wouldn't they want the truth to be known?
Right.
Because if I had to think of a mind from them, they'll say, no one should be getting paid off of our suffering. That's what they
thank
would say.
Thank you, Neff.
Okay?
Thank you, Neff.
That coming from the
and
mind of somebody like that. You should know, you know.
I hate her. Because goddamn Quentin Tarantino, a fucking Italian Jew, had to come out and put a black man in a fucking role that's worthy. And then the Jews, because you said Wazinski or whatever the fuck
Weinstein,
the name is.
Weinstein.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
They had the nerve to come out and put out a doll with a nigga and capitalize off it. It's all about capital. So when niggas like monkeys don't think fast enough to be a part of the shit, they shout racism. And that's their way of getting royalties from the crackers that produced it. They going to be asking for money and a fucking lawsuit soon based on this same shit. And niggas going to be following behind them same lame-ass niggas trying to get a lawsuit instead of creating and thinking for their goddamn self. Instead
so,
of making a person.
And speaking of creativity, man, anybody
yeah.
got anything to say about this Django? Because Don dropped a hell of a quote in the AP before the show started, and you know, it was rather profound. I mean, simply put, but definitely profound. And you struck me when you said creativity because that was like the jux of the quote and about making, like, basically revenue through your creativity. So anybody else got want to finish up on this Django before I get into that? Because I'll definitely scroll up and see if I can find that quote. So that quote.
Money, merchandising, make it. You know what I'm saying? Build it, sell it. See this shit on your cell phone while it's mounting up in the bank by the percentages. That's what it's all about. I love it. I
mm-hmm.
wish I could come out with a nigga doll, that Steven doll.
Right.
I wish I could come out with all of that shit because, you know, these niggas is on that. And when they follow that, if you want to follow that and love that for what it is, it's just entertainment, but it really be affecting niggas. And I mean really, even though it's entertainment, really affects niggas. And they see this shit and they really don't understand the underlying term of what it is. And Django, to me, if I'm going to classify Django. It, is another fucking military movie. It's a military enlistment, recruitment fucking movie like all of the other ones. You know what I'm saying? So Quentin Tarantino doing his shit, he's going to go with what's profitable. And there's always the underlying themes that you, that writers always use, irregardless of the order that the words that they use for the script, is always the same fucking underlying theme. And he did a good job of taking a main underlying theme. You can be powerful. You can be great. Join the army. You can be great to have a sword and a suit, and the bitches will love you, and the romanticism in written in. This shit is all the same, and Quentin Tarantino does a really good fucking job, and I'll watch him before I watch any of the other ones because he does that shit right in your face, and I can appreciate that. You know, put the swastika on your motherfucking forehead, nigga. I can appreciate that. You ain't no kind of bitch. Because you telling people your story the way you see it, and I can appreciate that. You
wait, though,
and not someone else.
I see more than that, though. I see Quentin Tarantino showing where, you know, like, for instance, you got to watch the movie, man, even the soundtrack, just the numbers they using, like the numbers straight from our knowledge. Which is when Jamie Foxx was coming down the stairs with the fucking pistol, he said, I'm that one nigga out of 10,000. What that is, 7,999, 8,999, 9,999. That's our fucking numbers. You see what I'm saying? So when Quentin Tarantino, and his name Quentin Tarantino, tell you the name of the prison where they finna send Django is LaQuint Dickey. Quentin Tarantino, the name of the prison is LaQuint Dickey, and then you see him get blowed up. I mean, he's telling you where his family bloodline and what his role was in the thing. Dr. York told us a long time ago that it's a such thing called a realist, and I ain't heard this word in a long fucking time. A realist.
A realist?
A realist. Yeah, R-E-A-L-I-S-T.
Realist.
Realist.
Keeping it real talk.
Yeah. So he told us about realists, and he said that there would be Caucasian realists that would reveal certain information to you and tell you the fucking truth.
Exactly.
That's this just a cycle. This just a universal cycle. It don't matter who mouth it come out of. The person just have to be willing to accept the truth. And I think that people so caught up in black and white and who wrote this and who said that, they can't fucking see the truth. It just really done became like that, even in the so-called conscious community. So y'all got to cut that shit out and see when truth been presented. Now, everybody
can't say different. What they say when the truth come, don't duck, right?
Yeah, that's right. No. Don't duck that shit. Because it's a lot like 100 black coffees. That song in the movie.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? And 100 is just like 10,000. You see what I'm saying? And 100 and 10,000 is just like one nigga. You see what I'm saying? So when you do the math in the movie, you'll see that when he say, except, this was the main thing to me. When they said, last thing, enough, when they said exceptional nigga.
Right.
When Leonardo DiCaprio said that Django and Samuel Jackson, now two, is two exceptional niggas.
Mm-hmm.
Now, it ain't really exceptional if you can run into another exceptional nigga, though.
Right.
Ain't
that,
nothing
that,
really
that,
exceptional.
Right, that wouldn't make you, that wouldn't make you, what are you trying to say?
That's
right. There can be no two exceptional people?
Yeah.
Is that what you're saying?
Nah, I ain't saying that. I ain't saying that it can't be two exceptional people. I'm saying the odds are on a slave plantation. On a slave plantation, the odds are you won't run into another exceptional nigga. Just like right now, we always say it's 1%. So if it's 1%, that means 99% of the people around you sleep. If you of the 1%.
Right.
So then if we can understand that, then we can understand what's going on with the movie. All I'm saying is that an exceptional nigga is one type of nigga. By the end of the movie, he became called an unexceptional nigga. But not because he was really unexceptional, but because he was the white nigga. This is my point.
Right.
Yeah,
right.
Because you could be exceptional, and you could be unexceptional. But if you're the right nigga, can't nothing go wrong with that. Other than you the right nigga at the right place at the right time with the right knowledge.
Let me say this one last thing about Django right quick. It was one scene that sold the movie to me. If this scene was not in there, I really wouldn't too much care for Django. But it was one scene that I had to get Quentin Tarantino credit for. That was the scene, as Bab said, at the end when he's coming down the stairs and Jamie Foxx blow the white woman away. That was the scene that did it for me, okay? Because he was like, fuck all y'all. I don't care how good, how nice your ass may want to act. You going too. I'm going to blow your ass. And the way he blew, he like shot like a rag doll. She flew into the other room. That scene for me is what did it. That let me know, oh, this is a real nigga here. Because he ain't nobody standing. Okay?
He blew it away like a rag doll. Right.
Yeah, that was the scene for me. If he would have let her live, I would tell this nigga, you know, no, your ass got to go too.
Right.
Plain and simple. Because he realized he was fighting a system. It wasn't no individuals. All
y'all
asses got to go.
Yeah. Hey, it's another movie y'all need to check out, too, man. Called The Man with the Iron Fist.
What is that about? Stalin? What's that about?
No, that's about with RZA. RZA made the movie, right?
The rapper RZA? Is it a karate flick? I know he into the martial art flicks.
Yeah, it is. Exactly.
Okay.
It's a martial arts flick. But I like how he made the movie, you know, because I think he directed the movie.
Tell me a jewel that was in it. What was the jewel in it?
The jewel was in it that he was the one who had to stop the main dude who was killing everybody in the joke. He was like one of the henchmen, but main dude, right? And he was the only one that was able to figure it out and stop the main dude who was the henchman who nobody could kill. You know what I mean? But y'all got to see the movie. I ain't gonna give it up. But check it out, The Man with the Iron Fist.
Okay.
Yeah.
That just came out. What is it about?
It just came out. It's on the tube.
Well, I know how to get a hold of it. If it's in the, you know, we got a ways to watch these movies, so I ain't got to go sit and pay $7 or whatever the hell it costs to watch a movie. So
no, I've seen it on the tube, you know what I'm saying?
Oh, okay. That's what's up.
Yeah,
right. So,
peep that out. That's another one of them, the niggas stand on top and win movies, you know what I'm saying? You know.
Right, yep. I mean, because goddamn, that's what you want. I mean, goddamn, can we just have more of those depictions? I mean, we got about 100 years since the damn rebirth of a nation when niggas is just horrible and killing shit and, you know, getting killed, selling dope. We've had a lot of that over the years. So, I mean, it's time for the cinematic fucking view of us to change. And, I mean, is it going to happen? I ain't expecting that shit to happen because I know that ain't the goal of Hollywood. You know what I'm saying? So it's going to take a whole bunch of renegade, whether it's going to be Jews, Italians, and niggas alike, to go ahead and make those depictions on cinema. You know what I'm saying? So, I mean, is the Django, it did what it did. You know what I'm saying? So people got from it what they got from it, you know. What you say, Oh, okay, Brother Sakim told me he got that. Yeah, Sakim, yeah, definitely after the show. So that's what that is, man. And, you know, they give motherfuckers they Django dolls, you know? Shit.
For real.
Shit, give the people they Django dolls.
Hey, Duff, you know what I wanted to ask Babylon is what does he think about Quentin Tarantino's name now? As far as I know, Quint is a fifth, I believe.
It's a nigga name. Fourth. How about that, Quentin? It's a nigga name.
Yeah, but Quint is a fifth, and because Quint is the fifth in French, and Taran is a
city in Iran.
Scottish for thunder. So what do you think about that? Five Thunders. I mean, that's Quint and Tarantino. I mean, Tino is some islands. I know the Tino Islands, but the Five Thunders. Does that bring out anything?
Are you trying
to
correlate it to the Seven Thunders?
Yeah. Well, I'm just saying, does it correlate at all? Mm-hmm. Because he does have a numerical name, you know.
I mean, when you said Quint to me though, at first, I had to go to French with you and say yeah, because at first I said no. Because when you said Quint, I thought quantum. And quantum is four, not five.
Right. Right.
So, you know, if you say he got a numerical number, it's just all according to how the person interpret what they seeing. Now, I'm the biggest one up on the mystery and the numbers and the hidden
mm-hmm.
essences of names and shit, but I don't know about five thunders or whatever, or five tons, or however you want to interpret that. But Quinton, I ain't look into it. I looked into it like Neff did. Like, that's just a nigga name.
Right. Quentin, Jerome, you know.
But
yeah,
I doubt
that
it's his real name, though. You know how they change their names and stuff.
Oh, yeah, Hollywood all the time.
Mm-hmm. But Tarantino sounds like Scottish, and, you know, it sounds Scottish to me. Tarantino sounds like a Scottish name.
I mean, I think he's been proven to be Italian Jew, though. I think he admitted that. And then where they was from, you saw they was in Chickasaw County. I mean, well, Chickasaw Native Americans, right? So look up Chickasaw Native Americans, and
mm-hmm.
you can see where his people would have been, or at least where he say he was located at, in Daughtry, Texas. So Chickasaw Native Americans is who they was dealing with. And notice they were playing a Native American song when they came into town.
Thank you.
How about that?
Right. Just want to make
that
announcement real quick. Yeah, I want to make that announcement real quick. You know, we got 15 minutes to call in, Skype in, to get ready to hear this OT. So like I said, I definitely want to hit on I thought was a real profound quote that Dawn threw in the chat. She threw it in there for me again. So we can definitely ride off into that right now. This is what it says. Ooh, I don't know how to say this first word. C-R-E-M-A-T-I-S-T-I-C-A. Chromatiska. Let me sound it out. Like when they do it, they tell you do it.
Chromatiska.
Yeah, when they tell you when you're a child. Break it apart and sound it out. Chromatiska. Goddamn tongue tied. Okay. That's how it is. It says the study of wealth, mentioned in the movie Cosmopolis. I'm going to have to check that movie out. It says the art of money making. On frame 34, so that's 34 minutes and 9 seconds into the movie. It's a powerful scene where a young man, a billionaire, a visionary, is taking lessons from a young female associate, an oracle. A wise being once said, create, and I agree. We must be creative-minded, using our creativity to influence mind. By the devil's own admission of manipulation of the system, hidden agenda, no secret. They tell us how to gain power and control. This is truly one for the brain trust. So I just thought that was this, like I said, very simply put, but very profound, because you have, when anything, especially in this day and times, it's all about creating. It's all about using your creative willpower or your force to bring wealth and everything to you. Because I think once you literally, like, put your creative thought into it, it's like everything comes, it just comes to you. The money, everything comes. It's like it's not a trade, you know. It's not something you got to work hard for. So, I mean, give me, you know, help me out if I'm interpreting this in this wrong, but, you know, it's just like, I'm trying to think of this. Let me see if I can say this better. It says, we must be creative-minded, using our creativity to influence mind. Okay. It says, by the devil's own admission of manipulation of the system, they tell us how to control, to gain control, get power and control. And that's through your mind. I think that's just like, I think I know who said it. I believe that came from Dr. York. I think that was definitely from Dr. York when that was said. But, I mean, that's what it basically comes down to, you know, is that you have to use your creative mind for basically anything that you want right now in this dimension and in this time. You know what I'm saying? If you put your creative thought. No,
hey, Ness.
Babylon.
I want to ask you something, though.
Okay. Go ahead. Oh, Babylon said that. Oh, I got that. Okay, I thought it was okay. Yeah, break well, shit, I got the author right here. Go ahead, brother.
Hey, Nep, since we on that vibe though, we gotta start out with the first word.
Oh, that's how you knew the word, goddamn it. Why you didn't say nothing?
Well, no, I ain't the one who got down on your show now.
Well, you still should have said something. No, go ahead, though. Go ahead.
Hey, listen, though. They pronounce it chromatistica. Chromatistica. Or chromatistica. Okay? And that is the study of wealth, as they call it, or the art of money making. Chromatistica. And in the movie Cosmopolis, they discuss this. At frame 3409, a young lady who is an associate to a young lady, and they sitting in the car and they're discussing this situation, and she's like an oracle to him. She's just giving him information on all kinds of things in life, not only money, but time.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, all type of shit. You wouldn't believe how a 10-minute conversation went between him and her and the amount of information she delivered to him about wealth, about time, about human rationale, about genius, just on man's immortality,
right,
on everything. She went in on that. And so what I felt like I wanted to know, had anybody on the Brain Trust looked that up and looked into chromatistica?
Nah, but let me look it up while you talking.
Okay.
See what I come up with.
Yeah. I'm looking for Universal More Big Sal, 24 Dread. What's up? What's up?
Oh,
y'all ain't seen the movie?
They probably went to sleep. Shit. Ain't no telling.
Yeah. I see the movie. Call the game back.
Say what now?
I said, what the movie call again?
Cosmopolis. But I ain't into good movies now. I don't want this to be like Django. I ain't into good movies. I'm just into scenes. I'm just
right.
into knowledge and logic and what took place during the conversation between a lady and a dude that's a billionaire. I'm about money. And so they revealed in their conversation, through their conversation, it's on a high Illuminati level. But during their conversation of talking about how they would take control of the world and finances, how they would gain control by being ahead of people in time and using the numbers and mathematics to do this and cyber capital in order to do this. Hopefully I ain't going too fast. But when they using this, they was going to use this. And in discussing their plans, they reveal to us a plan, to me, that's worthy of seeking out and applying in our life as individuals on a major level. They sort of reveal a hidden truth about, you know, what we can do to help ourselves. When just like if I tell you about God, I'm automatically telling you about the devil. If I tell you about the devil, I'm automatically telling you about God. I tell you about bad, I'm telling you about good. About right, I'm telling you about wrong. So with that said, when they tell us about what they're doing, they tell us about what we should do.
Okay.
You see
right.
that?
Right.
So that's all. That's what the thing was about. But it's got quotes in it like
She say stuff like, money makes time.
Money makes time?
Yeah.
I would say it in a simplistic view. Yeah, money makes time for you to free up time for you to do what the hell you want in life. If I wanted to put it in a simplistic term.
And that's why we got to watch it. That's why you got to see it. Because they talking way above that insofar as you would know because you've seen it. So you just giving us, like you said, a simplistic
answer.
Well,
I'm just going off the top. Yeah, but this is a simplistic thought, the first thing that comes to my mind. And when I think of money makes time, yeah, I'm just thinking about it from a straight linear standpoint, I would suppose, being that if you have money, you have a lot of time to do what it is you want, if I had to put it from that term. But, you know.
She said this now. She said this, money makes time.
Mm-hmm.
It used to be the other way around.
Time makes money.
Yep, it used to be time make money. I don't necessarily agree with that, but the essence of it true. So let's just keep going. So she said, though, it used to be the other way around.
Time makes money.
Time,
right.
Yeah, clock time accelerated the rise of capitalism. See, listen, now, this is what Dr. York teaches, though, right here, is that time has been sped up.
Right.
And I heard Donna talking about it. And this is a very complicated thing for people, human beings, to understand, that the way you think can speed up time in your life and in other people's life. And as a collective, if we all think that mode, then time will literally speed up in our life. Music will speed up in everything we do. People say it all the time from down south. Just like when we listen to your music, Neff, your music from the West Coast is very slow to us, as anybody from the East Coast. And then when we listen to niggas' music from New York, their music is very mediocre to us that's down south. Because we got very upbeat and fast music, like Bombs Over Baghdad and shit like that.
Mm-hmm.
So were we talking about that? That's what they're talking about. So, Neff, what I want to say is this right here. It used to be the other way around, but clock time accelerated the rise of capitalism.
I can see
people,
that.
People stop thinking about eternity. Remind you of somebody? The Egyptians, maybe? People stop thinking about eternity and begin to concentrate on hours, measurable hours.
Measurable
man,
time, hours, minutes.
Man hours,
right.
Using labor more efficiently. Now, this is why money makes time. Because people no longer think of eternity or in terms of eternity, and they then began to concentrate on hours, work hours, my measurable hours, my 40 hours a week, my work week. They started to focus on day to day, and people say I live check to check. So these people are going to take advantage of people that think that way. The elite are taking advantage of people that think on these terms, that don't think about the long run, eternity, and can only concentrate on the hours, measurable hours,
right.
Meaning labor hours, making work
man
efficient.
Hours. We call them what? Man hours.
Yeah.
Right.
So this mode of thinking is to certain people's detriment. I ain't going to say our detriment because we fucking know better. So it's to the certain people detriment that they think that way. And this movie go on about several other things, but I hope the brothers on the phone and the sisters, the lady, got that, what we talking about.
Right. Like you said, shit, time is, I like that because time is really kind of, You can transform time. You really can. Time can be, you can manipulate time. It's very interesting. That was a hell of a quote. That was a hell of a quote. I thought that was definitely.
Yeah. I mean, she snapped hard enough.
Mm-hmm.
Hard. I mean, it's at least, it's, she gave at least 50 quotes. And her whole fucking conversation is a quote.
that's it's just quote after quote after quote that people should live by. Because this is how the elite living. This is how they think.
Right. Cosmopolis.
Yeah, absolutely.
Mhm. Yeah, we're going to have to check that out. That's yeah, we're definitely going to take a look at that one. Because if you know, I know that you you can see, you and a few others can see when it comes to some of these movies. So, it's definitely I know it's going to be a must see on my list. You know. Definitely.
Yeah. She says the idea is timeless. That's another quote she used.
The idea is time?
The idea is time. Living in the future. Look at the numbers running. What she was discussing when she said that is that the idea, like, what's beyond person, place, or thing?
What is, like, what, the fourth dimension? What is,
Idea. Idea.
Idea.
Idea is beyond person, place, or thing.
Yeah, your first thought. Yeah, where the thought.
Yeah, because
the
idea.
Thought,
because
where the original thought comes from, right. That's the fourth plane, the mental plane.
Yeah, and that's more than just an analogy.
Right.
That ideas are thoughts, and thought
right.
take place in the mind, and that's
right.
on the mental realm, not on the physical. So ideas, right. are beyond person, which is physical, places, which is physical, and things, which are physical. So ideas are beyond person, place, or thing. So when she say the idea is time, she talking about a reality beyond your time and space. She talking about the time between the tip and the top where niggas don't think to even exist.
Mm. That's big.
Yeah, that's what she means by the idea. The idea is time. So to even begin to talk to this young man and tell him what she want him to learn from her, she telling him that the idea is time. Her idea is time.
Right.
Her idea to make money is time. Not just crematistica like they did the Greeks where they studied wealth. But she was saying they're going to put a twist to it. You're going to see she's saying everything I'm saying just about. They putting a twist to the word crematistica and not just the study of wealth, but the art of money making. Where she can see she is an oracle.
She's an
and
oracle.
She telling him,
right.
Yeah, he's a visionary.
Yeah, she can
he's
see
a
already.
Visionary.
That's right.
Yeah, and she talking to a young visionary. And her young visionary, she tell him, you got to see. This is one of her quotes, basically. She say, you have to understand that the more visionary the idea, the more people will be left behind.
I got a question for you. I got a question for you real quick before we head into OT. It was asked, is the movie called Pattinson's Cronenberg Cosmopolis?
No, it's just Cosmopolis. I don't know about the other part of it. I got the movie bootleg, all right? So.
Okay. And
we're
getting ready to go on the OT. Y'all got, here we go, because I want you to, I see somebody has a question that we're going to delve into. But you got a minute and about 30 seconds to call in, Skype in, or go to the Donna Corleone after party to hear the next. They're just in my ear telling me that. To get to here to, you know, overtime. So we're getting ready to head on over there. So y'all should have that number on speed dial 1-347-884-9239. If you don't have it, you ain't shit. But we going to OT. Here we go.
Nefertiti, surviving the game every Friday night at 11 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on WGAG Radio.
Overtime with Nefertiti, surviving the game, coming up. You got 2 minutes to call in. The number 1-347-884-9239. Nefertiti, surviving the game. We about to go into OT. Let's get it.
Like a movie.
top bill, what's good for the whole damn hood? Study G's like these, really think you should. I study Malcolm Garvey Huey, Malcolm Garvey Huey, Marcel Cody with the Uzi, listening to Fela Kuti. I'm a goon with the machete, especially if it's deadly. Got the Santos for the Hexy to protect me, so respect me. This is heavy, legendary, revolutionary. My wifey, she resurrect me when they thought they had me buried. Took me out the cemetery, now it's family over every, cause that's all that's necessary to avoid the commissary. I'ma live for you five, so I stop getting high. If you know, then you recognize it's that black and brown pride. It's the power of the mind, RBG, God divine. You can see through the lies if you can read between the lines. I live, I die, I organize. Everything I do, revolutionize. I build what's good for the whole damn hood. Study G's like these.
We are officially in overtime. You know how we run this thing. We run in 60 minutes until the last buzzer goes off. So, man, let's get into it. I got my re-upped on my caffeine and shit like that, so I'm definitely ready to go. I just wanted to say, man, you know, my husband bothered me with a comment that he made. We went out to dinner. Check this out, Brad. We went out to dinner on Wednesday night.
Okay.
And we had, you know, dessert. And I had some banana pudding, you know, which is one of my favorites. So I ate the banana pudding. And I had coffee after that. He said, what is you, a honky? I said, what you talking about? He said, why are you drinking coffee after dinner? I said, nigga, ain't got shit to do with being a honky. I said, this shit helps me shit after I eat all this goddamn food. What are you talking about? You know what I'm saying? I'm like, this is not a white or a black thing. You know what I'm saying? This shit is, I just found out that coffee is a digestive. You know what I'm saying? Shit.
Well, Ness, there's nothing wrong with having pudding and crumpets after dinner.
This shit ain't tea and crumpets. This is, I'm helping digest this shit. But I just thought about that because I'm drinking my coffee. I'm like, this black man actually said, you acting white. Said out of all the people. I said, you could have lost your mind.
And you just got a real nigga, Ness, man. To some niggas, though, just, I mean, I got brothers and cousins like that, man.
Mm-hmm.
Tell me, in it,
Avalon,
that's some goddamn white folk shit you pulling out.
Right, that's right. Look, this is a digestive shit. I just stuff myself with all this damn food. I said I'm a nigga hater. I said I love niggas, but I hate them at the same time. That was another example. I love that nigga, but that's stupid. That's just a stupid thing to say. Shit. As I sip on my coffee. But anyway, shit, who says that shit? So, yeah, of Babylon. So, I just love that quote, though, man. I'm still trying to, I know there's more to dig into that, man, when it comes to creativity and wealth. You know, because most people, a lot of motherfuckers is thought into the lock of go to school, work for the corporation, and get wealthy. But when you think about some of the quote-unquote wealthiest people in this society of ours, they really do it through a terms of creativity. Some do it through the, you know, mechanics of society, meaning that they know how to make money without producing shit, you know. But, that's the most satisfying way to amass your wealth and your money, you know. Oh, shit. Babylon fell off. Let me, I gotta go get him. Shit. Hold on 1 second for me. I'm gonna go to a quick commercial and I'm going to go grab Babylon. All right, so well, y'all sister.
Can I say something else?
You sure can. Go ahead.
Thank you. Because I really, a lot of things are coming to mind.
Mm-hmm.
And one is one of the things that, that Farrakhan said that struck a chord with me is I don't know where he got this information from, but what he said was important, and what it was said was that it was important to keep their knowledge from us, the knowledge of warfare, also the knowledge of business, and also the knowledge of mating. And this is very, very important to me. And the crematology, because I know that word but I didn't know it how you spelled it. I knew it as C-H-R-E-M.
Well, it does have a translation into English. It's an Italian word. But it still it still came to the study of wealth. That's what it still came down to.
And definitely that's the study of business to me, you know. You know, driving an economy. And to tie it in so I don't be so long, it's like it sounds like to me when you guys first started talking about this, that this is knowledge that has been perfected and innovated over time, because this is an old practice and it is as old as monetary is. So to not draw it all out and get all, you know, in detail, but for that knowledge there, what you were speaking about earlier, what they teach about it, it brings into what Babylon says many times about the Hegelian dialectic, which is the problem, reaction, solution. Now, if I know the game and I'm writing and constricting and limiting your movement with laws in order for you to play the game, it's easy for me to create that Hegelian dialectic, you know, the problem, reaction, solution. And in that problem, reaction, solution, the profit is made. So being on the side of the creator of that problem so you can get the reaction and the solution, you know, creating the Django Dow, you know, to get the create a problem and the solution winds up in your bank account. I mean, I love it. I'm fucking in awe. I'm just tying shit together. The wine is good. The spirits are good. And that's where I'm at. I'm just being real. This is what I'm hearing.
That's,
you know, it really does all tie in. You know, the sports thing. That's a form of the chromatomatics. You know,
it is.
A form
it's
of
all
that.
It's all the study of wealth, whether you get it through a physical means or anything else. I mean, because I'm telling you, when I think of sports, it's still a level of creativity, even though it's a physical thing that you're doing, but it's still a level of creativity. But
I mean, that's great.
Right.
What better connection is there to the mind to the body? How many people, you know, are in touch with their body? I mean, if you got children and people that depend on you, you should do push-ups because you might have to save them from in the drowning pool. And you got to have the intellect enough to control your body to do that. So athletes are the pinnacle of what one can do with their physical body here on Earth.
Right, they're just not trained to use their mental. Like I said, you know, they're, you know, just physically just made to train the body and not the mind, and that's the problem. But that's the big problem.
Superwoman.
Right. But I see Babylon's back. What's up, Bab?
Yeah, hey, Neff, could you read the creativity line again? Because I wrote that, and I just want to explain what I was saying.
Okay, let me go back to it. How you doing, honey? What's up? It says, a wise being once said, create, and I agree. We have to be creative-minded, using our creativity to influence mind. You want me to continue? That's
deep.
One sentence.
Yeah. So what was said to me basically?
Yeah, I
want to
know what you mean by creativity to influence mind.
Okay. Let me tell you the first part though.
Okay.
Where I say a wise being once told me, we all know who the wise being is.
Absolutely.
That's
right.
Dr. Malachi of New York.
Right.
Now, he told me. And this is what I got out of it. Now, I'm paraphrasing, but this is what I came up with from my own experience and learning, that somebody said to me, you have to be able, you in order to beat the devil, you got to be the devil.
Mm.
In order to beat, B-E-A-T, to beat the devil, you have to be the devil. Somebody said that to me one time. And I stuck with that because I couldn't think of nothing beyond that.
Right.
Until Dr. York said to me, you have to be able to create.
That's
and
right.
Then it hit me. You don't necessarily have to beat the devil, be the devil to beat the devil. You just have to be creative in order to beat the devil. And that would mean you have to be creative enough to create your own game and make him play your game.
Don't play the devil game. Don't try to be the devil.
Because you can't be something.
Right,
that you,
that's really being your own individual, really. And your mind power is so strong that those have no choice but to actually conform to what it is that you're doing. And they have to play by your rules, literally.
Yeah. Dr. York wrote a powerful thing called Your Potential Book. It used to be called The Biggest Secret. And he talked about...
Oh, okay, I've heard that one, The Biggest Secret. Okay.
Yeah, and he spoke about creativity and how we have to be able to create in order to outstrip these people and to become recognized as a people.
Right.
So without that, then it ain't going to be none. So the last part, Neff, where you say, where I wrote, we have to use our creativity and our creative minds in order to influence mind. What I mean by that is, and I didn't use mind with an S. I used
You didn't say influence. Okay, yeah, creativity to influence mind. So yeah, singular. The singular mind.
Yeah. Because remember, we don't have our own mind.
Right. Meaning
mind is what they call a collective consciousness, or a mental reservoir.
Meaning that in order to influence that mental reservoir
and then to influence the minds around you, that's called mental induction. That's called star power or personal magnetism.
Okay.
That's called mental induction.
Personal magnetism.
When you're able to take thoughts from your mind and influence other people, it's different than telepathy. I ain't talking about talking to people. I'm talking about mentally inducting them into your Hall of Fame.
I like that. That's right.
So you're talking about physics for real.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm talking about alchemy.
That's mental science if you're talking about the mind.
Yeah, this is where you learn about polarity of mind. But to get back to the subject of money, though, fuck all that. To get back to the subject of money, the lady was talking about dough, man, and about how money in the future is based basically on who control the time.
Mm-hmm.
So we got to think along them lines in order to get with what they doing. So who controls time will control the money, because money makes time.
I'm trying to see how.
I mean, that's
how
that
one
does a lot of things to me, and one of the things.
I'm really thinking how one can control its own time.
One of the solutions that stands out to me would be through youth, because if you talk about time, you're talking about chronologics, and you're talking about progression of ideas and the progression and development of your creation. And when you invest your time and energy into a project, then you have to wait on it to develop. You know, you put the seeds in the ground, you have to wait for them to grow, and that is a chronological event. So time makes money, but in this essence, money makes time, because the money is the true value is in the investment. So whether the investment is a monetary investment or a seed, or a thought, or a text on a phone, the actual monetary value can be, you know, quantitative. It does have quantitative value. That's why there's advertisements on TV, on computers.
Allow me to interject, though, because you didn't see the movie yet, but I just want to show you something. That what you're talking about is what we call theory, though. I ain't trying to say that. Just listen to me. That's called theory in this aspect, because what she sees in the limousine, she's sitting in the limousine with a billionaire, young billionaire, and she sees numbers running on the screen. So the numbers reflect what the money is doing.
So wow. Anybody that could determine the number before it's going to come up would be ahead of time. It's almost like predicting the lottery.
Right.
Without all the bullshit and all of the guessing games, mm-hmm. they have an actual formula where the next number that's going to come up is predictable.
Mm.
So this, I don't want to talk about theory. I'm talking about people that's actually looking at monetary figures and saying, hey, I can get ahead of other people by knowing their tendency called that they no longer focus on the big picture called eternity. They trap in the time tunnel or the one-track mind called the hour or the man hour mm-hmm. or the measurable hour or the time you were talking about in theory of, you know, time travel. And that mm-hmm. shit right there. But in this instance, we talking about two things. Money makes time. And that's money and time. So money makes time. So we have to deal with those words first. We have to ask the question and not be afraid to answer it from a real. Now, you said physics? Using physics to answer the question. What does it mean money makes time? And I said that when she's saying this, money makes time, she means that money is based on time.
Yes.
That people
right.
have based
Motherfuckers
money
clock in
on
and
time.
Clock out. Right.
Absolutely. Now.
Mm-hmm.
And since they have, then whoever controls the labor or the time and or the payment which a person receives or whoever can be ahead of that is the person that makes money.
Right.
And from the movie,
agreed.
You can already see that she say this. She say it's cyber capital that
cyber
creates.
Cyber capital. Wow.
Cyber capital.
Okay.
Yeah, she says
the times in which
we're
living now, cyber capital, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, but.
And on that aspect, Bab, you know, with the interjection on that aspect, you said.
But see, wait, hold on, one thing. I don't want people to think that you're talking about your fucking get an internet fucking store.
Right,
fucking junk products. No, she talking about using the computer. Let me get straight to it. She's talking about using the computer to be ahead of the numbers in order to use that to control time and money.
Yeah. And what I was going to say was one of the best ways that you can use your computer to be ahead of the time is it's called a SEO. It's called a search engine optimizer. And I also use that to sell products. You know what I'm saying? Like I made a whole bunch of different lists of ways that you can do that. So, you know, like texting and a whole bunch of different ways that you can turn your money into time. You know what I'm saying? So I'm definitely with the theory aspect because to me, you know, even when I look at people, when I used to manage hard, I looked at people and I say, look, why don't you come down here with me and don't worry about it. You know, I'll take care of you. And, you know, some of these people that I know, you know, just from me investing, you know, my time with them, in the future has turned around and said, hey, man, you know, I really appreciate this. You know, here's a little extra. You know, here's and you know, to me, you know, I see dollar signs when I see people. When I see just yesterday, day before yesterday, I met a brother. He just got out of prison. He spent 14 years in prison, and he pulled his wallet out. And I said, damn, that's you.
Okay. More got dropped. Okay. All right, Bab, it looks like it's you and I into the early a.m. out here on the West Coast.
Okay, that's what time it is. I was going to say we're going to need an overtime.
Right. So, 215. Do I see that? Oh, 215. All right, let me go to 215-809.
Let me open your mic. Speak more back up if you can, Nev.
Okay, hold on. Let me get. Can I get to 215-809?
Hey, what's up, Lev? This is Andy Christ.
What up, Andy Christ? Welcome to the show. I'll give you a clap.
Right.
Ah! live, but I'm like slowing the button, so go ahead.
Hey, what's up, Bab? You more?
What's up, Andy?
All right. Hey, I want to ask you something, Bab. The movie you're talking about, is this the one with the dude sitting in the limo for like 90% of the movie, but I mean, he had a lot of people coming to him, like his business partners and stuff like that?
Absolutely.
Okay, yeah, he had, like he had like crazy security with him, and everybody was trying to come at him for some. Oh, yeah. I remember that movie. I got to really look at it again because I only saw like half of it, and it was interesting, but I had to run out and do some other things, you know what I mean? But you, and this was like maybe a month ago, 2 months ago, but you just reminded me to watch that movie again. Good looking, buddy.
Hey,
I appreciate that.
Hey, let me tell you something, Antichrist 666, man. I don't blame you for running out on the movie. The movie seems and appears so fucking whack. No,
right.
It's like Gattaca almost. You remember how the motherfucker acting Gattaca slow? Well, but it's modern day, and the
right.
Nigga's in a limo, and he's driving, and the president is under threat. The nigga got the best security. His limousine is top notch. It's made out of fucking cork. It's bulletproof and all this shit. This nigga got all type of computer network. This nigga get a physical bodily doctor checkup every single day.
Well,
based on the fact that people die every day.
Yeah. Well, the beautiful thing is that we can go directly to 3409 to see what you're talking about. But
listen though, Antichrist mentioned some shit. He meet with several business partners, and
right.
He gives them niggas information. But only when he meet with this lady, this oracle, does she teach his ass. Because this nigga knows some shit. He's 28 and he's a billionaire.
Right, I see that he says he's a visionary. Meaning
he's
just on the cutting edge of business. Visionary.
Yeah.
Meaning that you can see the trend before it pops. That's what a visionary is. You can see what's coming around the corner before it actually really manifests. That's what a visionary is.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Right.
And the vision that she telling him about is that you got a good vision, young man. But as the oracle, I can see that money is taking a turn. That money is no longer based on wealth that you know as. That money is now based on time.
Right. Likes that. So we're gonna definitely check that out. And that's what I mean. Like I said, we're living in those days right now. You know what I'm saying? I mean, are they controlling the time? I definitely know they are. You know, particular individuals are controlling the time.
Can I say something?
Absolutely.
It actually kind of sounds similar to that movie with the time and money was time in that other movie.
Oh.
Remember? Money and
time
was the same damn thing.
I think it was called Out of Time or some shit like that.
Yeah, money. I don't know the name. I can't remember. Mm-hmm. But money and time was basically the same thing, Babylon. It was in their hand or their
On their wrist
or their
forearm.
Yeah, and however much money they have is just exactly how much time they have to live on this planet.
To live on the planet,
Yeah, that was a dope movie, though.
It's
really did how they were separating the people based on how much time you had. So you had these people who had all this time to do particular things in their life before their time ran out. It's called Out of Time.
They had to keep fucking time in their fucking body.
Right.
Yeah.
Time was
money.
They had to do a certain amount of shit. They had to either have more money. Because if not, they were going to die because their clock ran out.
Like you buy coffee, that was your time.
Where time and money is parallel.
Right.
It works hand in hand. You can imagine how much money you got right now. What if that was determined on your expiration date?
A lot of people be gone. I put it like that. You talk about depopulation. A lot of people be gone.
So Babylon, I'm gonna watch it though. But it seemed like I got the gist of what you were saying. The more you kept explaining it, huh?
Good, but her conversation, Don. Is something that I can't portray to you. I'm just bushing around with them. I wouldn't have called you, Don. I wrote you if it wasn't top grade.
I know, and that shit top grade to me, boo. That's why I'm gonna watch this shit. I'm watching the whole goddamn movie.
Yeah, that quote it caught me when I read it. I'll tell you that much. I was trying to overstand
it. In the movie, they so
it's
silly,
like,
Don. They turn one of the currencies. They explain that currency. They talk about a currency being called rat. What if currency was called rat? And what if rat was actually the currency?
People
walked around with rats for currency.
You saying rat, R-A-T?
R-A-T. That's right.
Okay.
And so they discussed this. And so as the Illuminati, him and his friends actually start a movement in the movie and actually have people running around throwing rats in restaurants, running around doing movements, attacking the president with rats, attacking rural leaders. They attacked the head of the IMF, Mr. Rapp himself, on TV and stabbed him in the eye in the movie. They attacked him in the movie. So this movie is about cold cash money and what people do for money.
What the hell rats got to do with this?
I'm telling you, they just threw that in. It's like Illuminati trick because they wanted to show you that money ain't worth shit.
Yeah, that money could be anything. It could like
yeah, it could be anything.
Like it said in the Leviathan book, it could be a fucking seashell.
Yeah, absolutely.
A stone or seashell.
I know, because a lot of that shit you were saying earlier just brought me right back to the Leviathan book I read the other day.
Right.
Yeah.
It did.
And that's where it brought me to, Don.
It's a movie called Branded. Has anybody seen that?
No.
Well, all right.
What's
well,
the name of it?
Branded, like Branded, like I'll brand you with my brand or something like that. It's called Branded. It's a pretty good movie. It dives into people's consciousness, you know what I'm saying, with corporations and stuff like that. I can't really explain it because I saw it a long time ago. But if you want, y'all get a chance to check that out. Branded is a real good one, in my opinion.
Done. Let me share this. This was a profound quote to me that the lady used. This was a sentence she said to the young dude. She asked him about his car. She said, I love your car. Your shining lights, all the fucking lights in here, the computers and shit is decked out. I like it, but I understand none of it. But it just tells me how vigorous we need to be in order to take adequate measure of the world around us. She says she don't even understand what's on the fucking computer. But the computer just tells her that she needs to be vigorous and they need to be vigorous in order to take adequate measure. That's just basically take advantage of
the
world around
us. Yeah, vigorous is vigorous to mean to take with extreme aggression. Vigorous,
that's right.
Right, to do it, you know, urgently, vigorously, no time to waste. Right.
She say this. She say, because time is a corporate asset now. Because time is a corporate asset now. It belongs to the free market system. The present is harder to find. The present, talking about time now, like past,
right.
Present,
right. Like the present as of now. Uh-huh.
The present is harder to find. It is being sucked out of the world to make way for the future of uncontrolled market and huge investment potential.
Well, that's what, like I said, that's exactly what's going on right now.
Yeah.
Somebody got a little reverb. I don't know if that's you, Auntie. You might want to you got a little reverb. Say that. Okay, no problem. Say that part again with the markets. Can say that again for me so I can visualize that. Say that for me one more time.
Okay, she said, the present is harder to find. It is being sucked out of the world to make way for the future of uncontrolled markets.
Uncontrolled markets. That's what you have today. That is your international markets. That is your NASDAQ. That is your
right.
All those things. Those are the uncontrollable mark. Well, are they controllable?
No, they're not.
Manipulated, possibly.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Control definitely is. Yeah. I don't know. I definitely say manipulated, but there's definitely a facets of uncontrollable markets that you know that's going on now. No doubt about that, because some of the shit they create, once again, we always said they lose control of it, you know, even though they make it to be controlled. But you know, once you let something out of the bag, there should be
it just gets out of control. So
you know the European common market, though. You know about that, right?
The European
common market. Common
the
what?
Common market? No, what does that refer to?
That's the dollar before the dollar. Shit. You know what I'm saying? Like they had the market on the dollar bill. It's in the Book of Revelations, actually. By Dr.
Yeah, he said everything. Hey, that's what Don showed in the on that Leviathan book. Everything is all this money and all this shit, monetary status is always connected to the Bible. I just think that is one of the most interesting things I know that I've ever heard in my life, how everything go back to that goddamn Bible, which really makes me want to read it. Like, read it. I probably need to read it with something else to actually get the total jux for it. But
no, you
like,
don't.
Everything
you just need
to
read
El's
Holy in Jail.
What's that?
No, you don't. Just read El's Holy in Jail. And that's the one by Dr. Malachi Ziyar.
Right.
Because the one that you got from King James doesn't reveal shit.
Okay, go ahead. I'm doing. Just keep going.
Okay, so that one don't reveal shit, but I do know the one by Dr. Malachi York got many, many revelations in it that he explained what these entities are, and he talked about the European common market and how that itself is basically the United Nations. That's the heads of the world right there,
mm-hmm.
The European common market. So, but to get back to the statement that the lady was making, she said, uncontrolled market and huge investment potential. The future becomes insistent. Listen to that statement. The future becomes insistent. And this is why something will happen soon. Maybe today, to correct the acceleration of time and bring nature back to normal, more or less.
Gotcha.
I hope Don heard that. The future becomes insistent, and this is why something will happen soon. Maybe today. What is it? Maybe today, to correct time acceleration and to bring nature back to normal.
To normal.
So, say what, Don?
Bring nature back to normal?
Uh-huh.
Okay.
Yeah. She said that something got to happen in order to correct that time acceleration that's taking place right now. And she said, and when that happens, it's going to bring nature back to normal.
Oh, so she basically said that time was speeding up.
Yeah,
how was time able to still time? That's probably why there's basically no more present.
Absolutely. She said it's been sucked out the world.
Huh?
She said the present is harder to find now. It is being sucked out of the world.
Well, you know,
present.
Right knowledge tells us that it's always now. There is no present. Or no future. It is right now.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And that's one of the keys to our advantage, Don.
Why?
Is that they still speak in terms of past, present, and future, in terms of time.
Yeah,
and
everything is happening right now, simultaneously.
Yeah.
Your present, your past, and your future is happening right now. Like, right now. Like, see, it just went away. See, there you go again. We're moving fast.
Talk about living in the rear view.
Okay. Yeah. What else she say? We're going to watch it after the show is over in the after party.
That'll be great, man. I know we're going to call Don.
Nah, as a matter of fact, I'm watching that shit tomorrow, man.
Ah.
I got to queue it up, though, but I want to be full alert because it must be a boring movie.
Yeah, you have to be full alert, Don. You're right.
Yeah, because it got to be boring, you know. It might keep me up, though, shit like that. Money, you know, money movies keep me up, boo.
And it will, Don. The money part will. Because he have different people getting in and out the limousine.
the only stupid part that looks sporadic is when nobody ain't in the limousine. But he keeps somebody in the fucking limousine. You heard Antichrist say.
I read the thing. It said that people are, like, all these people come to in his life, but his shit get ripped apart. His life gets turned upside down. Like, ripped apart. I read this little thing. It's gone now. I ain't got it no more.
Oh, okay.
But that's what the description said.
Yeah.
That his life get turned upside down or some of shit ripped apart with all them people coming in there. I guess that's why the lady came, the oracle came to help him out.
Right. Yeah, because, no, it was one dude, his fucking security, that kept reporting to him. And the crazy thing about it, all the young dude wanted was to get to the fucking barbershop.
Yeah, get his hair cut, and he just kept being interrupted.
But see, the deep part about it was, is that he realized that the only threat was his own security, and he wound up killing his fucking security. His world wasn't turned upside down in a bad way. It was turned upside down in a realization way.
So he was able to see? Is that what
as far as I was concerned.
Right, well, that will turn your life upside down to a particular point when you're able to see some shit that blinded your universe. So you're going to have a level of turmoil in your life when you're able to see some shit that you've been blinded to. I can tell you that. No doubt about that.
Another part I want you to check out, or y'all to check out, is where they talk about anarchists and capitalism, or capitalism. He say this, the urge to destroy is a creative urge.
The urge to destroy is a creative one. Well, if you look at it like that, shit, because to destroy, you're going to have to rebuild.
That's right.
You know, from destruction becomes something else. You build on top of something that is, you know, becomes rubble. So, yeah, I understand that. They show that a lot, you know, since we're on this movie tip. That's the premise of the fifth element with the bad guy. He said, let's create destruction, for therefore we can create something new. That was like his whole thing. You know, when he was using the machines and shit. So, yeah, from that aspect.
So, no, you do know what an anarchist is, right? You talked about it before.
I mean, anarchy. One who wants to see completely destruction of a system, right? I mean, an anarchist.
Okay, yeah.
Right?
Absolutely.
Right.
The urge to destroy, basically, an anarchist.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And she say, but the anarchists say this. He said this, the urge to destroy is a creative urge, okay?
It is, because you want to replace, you want to destroy what's present and create something new. That's the whole thing.
Yeah, so what I'm saying is, she goes on to say to him that that's not only an anarchist statement, but that's the hallmark of capitalism. That statement right there.
Anarchy is the hallmark of capitalism?
Of capitalist.
Capitalist.
Yeah. Okay. Which is capitalism. They run it. So, yeah.
Right.
Let's say this. Capitalists don't think no fucking politics. We talk about people that actually trade and buy and sell and borrow and lend and spend. And all the things you could do with money.
Right.
That's what we're talking about, a capitalist. Somebody who fucks with money.
Oh yeah, I wouldn't put a politician with the word capitalist. That don't even go together.
Yeah, so that's what the young dude do for a living. When he's sitting at the table talking to his wife, he's telling her, I'm losing hundreds of millions of dollars, and she say, but it's at night. He say, but the yuan and the stock market open 24 hours a day.
You're damn right. Absolutely.
So, you know, shit like that is what they drop
that's bullshit. When you make money in your, they say that's when you reach the apex is when you make money in your sleep.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's your money making money, literally. So
she say what you said, Neff. She say, oh, industries. Now remember, Don broke down the difference between industry and business. I don't know whether y'all remember that or not.
I remember that conversation. But, yeah, we're talking about music. Mm-hmm.
So now this lady say, all industries have to be harshly eliminated. New markets have to be forcibly claimed.
Forcibly?
All markets, go ahead.
Go ahead.
Okay. Mm-hmm. All industries have to be harshly eliminated. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
New markets have to be forcibly claimed. Old markets have to be re-exploited. Destroy the past and make the future.
Right. Yeah, that's what must be done for forward of civilization, really. To be honest, you know, it's out with the old and in with the new. To deconstruct, to reconstruct. That's basically what that she basically talking about, and that's the wave of the future.
Yeah, but her word choice is what you have to listen to, because mm-hmm. she say old industries have to be harshly eliminated. So that means that any old industry need to be dismissed harshly. Mean they need to be zero and bankrupt, kick the fuck out the industry, first of all. This how we do business. This
right.
the mind of a capitalist. This ain't the mind of your sister or your brother or your fucking teammate. This the mind of people that's actually living a good life while niggas talking shit about how they live. So I'm trying to show people how they actually think and why they got what the fuck they got. It's because they think like this. They tell you not to be an anarchist, yet the words you saying out your mouth become the hallmark of how they leech and live off your ass. Which is what I mentioned a couple of weeks ago when we talked about the $100 bill and what they have on there. And I said they got that statement from the amendment that state that people got the right to start they own, to raise arms and start their own fucking government and shit like that. They got that on the dollar bill. And I said, they dare nigga to do it. These are the capitalists, when I say they. The capitalists dare these fucking fake anarchists to get up off their ass and do anything other than talk. So
right.
The anarchists, if they not capitalists,
they ain't real anarchists. I got you.
No.
I got
that's
you, right.
Hey,
they just
the true anarchist
the
is a capitalist
right.
and got
right.
dope. Not somewhere sitting in a cave with a fucking gun or talking about what he going to do to the government.
Right,
an
protesting on the
that
street.
Been
right.
through that shit and got it.
Right.
I mean, capitalist. That
right, not the motherfuckers. Occupy
thing.
Wall Street. Them are not anarchists throwing rocks.
No, those are not.
You know what I'm saying? Sorry, those are not. And that's the one. That's the shit that's portrayed. You know, you throwing Molotovs and shit with a
hey,
mask
listen,
on.
Listen. When you think about the ones that occupy Wall Street, think about the ones outside the limo that's running around throwing the rats and painting this nigga car. Those the ones that occupy Wall Street. Those the ones that he motivated to go out just to see. He did this for the fun of it now. They
right.
doing this for the fun of it, just for emotional and mental control of society. They just did this as a prank to see. And the Oracle tell him at the end of the conversation, she basically say to him that this is not original. That's one of the conversations she have with him, is originality. She
right.
say, doing this shit right here, what you talking about? Is not original, motherfucker. What I was telling you about money makes time, that's a fucking original, nigga.
Right.
So even though you got billions of dollars, you're not being original. You're not being creative.
No,
you're
that's
not
what, you know, exactly. That's like I always I liken that to your Mitt Romneys. They are not creators. They're not creative when it
nah.
comes to how they amass
right.
wealth. You know what I'm saying? They just, you know. You know, because they didn't create shit. They just found a way to amass wealth by taking over other people's shit.
Yeah. Inherited wealth, too, and power and position.
Right.
And selection, not election. Absolutely, no.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what I got from it, Lev. Say what now? Oh, okay. Destroy the past and make the future. But see, that's just two things. Destroy the past and make the future. She mentioned earlier that the present is being harder to find because it's being sucked away. So what I got from that was when she said old industries have to be harshly eliminated,
right.
That's one. New markets have to be forcibly claimed, that's two. So listen to her word selection, though. Harshly eliminated and forcibly claimed. Like, even in the
right, I mean, that's for people who don't, even though people don't want it, it has to be done anyway. Forcibly, meaning that it goes against someone's will. I mean, when you force somebody
possession.
To do something, you know?
Adverse possession.
Right. So, I mean, shit. That can be seen as something that's really, like I said, this shit, it'll be seen as, I always want to know when we see this shit, how does it correlate to what's going on now in the time, the day and time in which we live right now? And I think a lot of shit you just said is it's parallel to what's happening right now in 2013.
Absolutely, you know,
no. So
that's exactly what's going on.
And we see this going
right
on all over the world. I'm trying to think of what old markets are being destroyed, though.
Music. CDs. It's Blu-ray, not DVD.
iTunes,
new computers. It's handheld. It's motherfucking
right.
Moving on, Shaka. And that's what she tells you in the movie, too. She tell him about his computers and all that shit. She say, basically, nigga, I don't hate that shit. Because is it ever going to stop? No. Is it somebody that could break that shit, basically? No, it ain't going to stop. So why hate what's already going to keep going? That shit just like time.
No, you don't resist the future, man. Or you don't resist
it is
that.
What it is.
Why? You just let it be. Emotion. Let it come into being. You let that shit come into being, and you, like I said, you have to be a visionary. That's really what it comes down to is being a visionary.
Yeah.
You know,
and
if you're going to be able to grow and do big shit here, you got to see what's coming around the curve. You know what I'm saying? This is where your real intellect and your higher senses come into being right now.
Yes.
That's what it is now.
The question is, how do we use what we know and everybody always say and apply it? But
right.
See, this ain't what they looking at, no fucking application. They already done applied it because they see it. They see the flaw, and they going to capitalize on the fucking flaw.
Right.
And the flaw is that human beings, right, and I ain't going to get that other part away, but the flaw is to me that human beings are caught in the type of time that she's talking about. They are workhorses.
Oh, you said that's the
what?
That's definitely the 99%.
Yeah,
you know, or fucking workhorses. They clock in, they clock out. You know what I'm saying? There's very few who are able to do things literally on their fucking on their own time.
So then, let me say this: that's gonna hurt the black consciousness community then. And not in hurt they movement, but hurt they fucking pride. And hopefully I hurt they fucking movement and stop that bullshit.
Right.
So this is what I'm going to say, is that because it's only very few, that 1% you were talking about now, because it's very few that can comprehend and understand what we're discussing right here, that's why the lady said in the movie, you have to understand the more visionary the idea, the more people it leaves behind.
Of course. I mean, shit, because everybody can't adapt to that. I mean, shit, that becomes a level of adaptation, and that shit, everybody won't be able to grab that concept at all when it comes to shit like that. Shit, but... Let me tell you, man, we got like 5 minutes
We got like 5 minutes left for this show before we get up out of here. And I wanted to talk about my favorite subject. We're going to talk about the Russians telling Obama to tell everybody about these motherfucking aliens. Yes, I like aliens.
What did he say, man?
Remember, I think a couple weeks ago, I posted it and I sent it to you on Facebook where I showed the damn Russian prime minister said that they get that fucking those two books that show who's visited this planet and what they doing here. So this is what he said. He said, the Russia orders Obama, tell the word about aliens or we will. Right, it says, I love alien talk, yes. I'm on my space cadet shit right now. It says that their little Ministry of Foreign Affairs this week states that the Russia will warn Obama that the time has come for the world to know the truth about aliens. And if the United States won't participate in this announcement, then the Kremlin will do something. The Kremlin is balling. I've been there. Oh! What happened? Oh. Did he hang up?
Yeah, he hung up. I guess you talked his phone all the way out.
Well, that's good. That's good. Anyway. Well, I was going by my alien talk. I got a couple minutes left. Anyway, I was talking about the Kremlin said they gonna announce this shit if Obama don't do it. And I always knew, I always said it like this, if this shit was going to be announced, it definitely wasn't going to be coming from the U.S. of A. Wasn't going to be coming from no heads of state in this bitch because they want to keep shit to themselves as much as possible, as long as possible, until their hands is forced. You know what I'm saying? So it says, some Swiss nonprofit organization described itself as an independent international organization committed to improving blah, blah, blah. Let's get to where the good shit is. Anyway, Russia said we going to tell. You know what I'm saying? And I'm saying do so. You know what I'm saying? Medvedev is, you know, I told you he said that shit about
the Russian government is going to tell why they wanted him to do it because it's the USSR or the USSA.
What?
USSA.
He's just saying America know what's up and they bullshitting. He said,
"Why does America got to be bullshitting if everybody get the files of every government and every
because
government?"
America is the
America's USSA.
I mean USSR, USSA, the Vatican.
Yeah, it's USSA.
Right, so they the head of shit.
No, America is Earth.
Pretty much, shit. Pretty much.
He gonna change the name of this motherfucker in a minute.
That's what they call
this nigga. Another 30 days, he gonna change the name of their planet.
Hey, do they not say when the American president is brought in, they are the leader of the free world? They don't just say he's the president of America. They say that nigga's the leader of the free world. You know, so so what he's saying is, he's like, damn, we know, you know, and it's time for this shit to just be said about it. And I'd like. Just go on and do it. You know, Medvedev, if you listen, just do it. Fuck America. What they going to do to you? What can they do? Instead, try to deny that it's a lie. But go ahead and bring Bibble out. Bring him from up under the shit and just say, this is what's going on. You know what I'm saying?
Well, they need to bring an alien on live TV, on CNN.
That's what I'm saying.
You just can't even trust none of these motherfuckers. It could be all in makeup. You just never know.
I mean, it is Hollywood. We know they got green screens and
yeah, man.
They are the masters of illusion.
Yeah.
But shit.
When that article came out, Neff?
It just came out today.
Oh, please. I'm still fucking everybody when I turn 50.
I'm pretty assertive. You got your eyes set on that 20-30 day.
Yeah, fuck all that shit. Ain't no aliens gonna come out this motherfucker.
I know. It's like,
I mean, the aliens, I would say they here, but they like retarded and shit. They look funny, like they out on the other side of their face and shit. You know, I know aliens when I see some, because ain't no way in hell you were born like that. And no such thing as
your face
to
with your face twisted.
Yeah.
And your foot pointing to the left.
Yeah. Shit like that. Yeah. You know, I seen goddamn Men in Black, that motherfucker walking funny, just like you were talking about.
Right.
The Roach man, when they abducted his ass and took his head, and that motherfucker walking funny, his face was twisted.
Yeah, he was like,
it's a whole bunch of these motherfuckers out there walking around. I know what the fuck they really look like, because their skin ain't really fitting on their ass.
Hey, they chin be pointing to their right shoulder. Oh,
Oh.
Exactly.
Clay will help me with
I know them motherfuckers when I see one. Shit.
Right, right. I definitely see the couple of them.
Yeah, when they put it on wrong and shit. You know how a bitch put on leggings and the shit be all twisted.
Right.
Yeah.
No doubt about it.
Bitch, be all twisted. That's what the fuck they putting that skin on wrong.
Right, for real. You know, you're not putting your skin on properly, but
yeah.
Shit.
Yeah, I got to put that shit on right.
Yeah, but, you know, I guess a motherfucker could ponder the thought of that shit popping off. But, yeah, in all realistic, is it going to happen in these next 4 years? I still tend to think that it will. You know what I'm saying? That announcement will be made. Now, is that shit real or fake? Once again, like you said, that remains to be seen. But I definitely think it'll be some kind of announcement popping off within this next 4 years of this bastard hanging around. You know what I'm saying? And I still don't think...
Well, I know that nigga is consulting with the Galactic Confederation. He the devil, man. That's all I got to say, man. When it's time for him to want you to know that shit, it's going to be too fucking late. This nigga is 6 degrees deeper.
He's the devil.
And you got to stay 19 steps ahead of that motherfucker. So, shit. So when that nigga said, just know that all is lost.
Damn, like, it's all bad when that nigga.
Yeah, it's gonna
mouth.
Be all bad because this motherfucker, you know, yeah, this motherfucker gonna have aliens attacking people and killing them, but they gonna be real people in alien suits. See,
it's gonna be all bad, right?
They gonna have people in alien suits, like they gonna have people in goddamn flying them drones, flying
right.
shit.
Straight
yeah,
up.
It's going to be the Russian military dressed up like Martians, killing motherfuckers.
Like, we talked about those Soviet nationals already being in this bitch, so already in this country, so there you have it. So, man, with that, I want to thank you. We're about to get ready to get up out of here, man. You know how to go and say is, you know, life is a game, play on the biggest stage. Man, the objective is to survive that bitch, so... Y'all get ready for the Queen of Fama show on Sunday, 6 o'clock Central Time. And y'all get ready. We do it again on Monday on the Don Nicolione show. I want to thank everybody who called in. I mean, it was a lot of callers from 24, Big Sav, Babylon Don, to Don Nicolione herself, and everybody who called in and everybody who stayed up. Andy Christ, all you niggas in the chat room, love y'all. Everybody be safe over this strong beginnings. And watch them niggas that be close to you, you know, and make sure they do what the fuck they supposed to do.
Is this the likeness of Israelites miss that made me write this? A slight twist of line rhyme. Be chasing down your prime time. Fool for thought or rather rhyme. Juan the Don Juan features the freak shit. My thesis on how we creep quick. Fucking your wife, that ain't no secret. It's mandatory. See that pussy, they handed to me. I got no game, it's just some bitches understand my story. There ain't no drama that my niggas never handle for me. My gator brand is Maury. Walking through a plan before me. Where the snakes put a smile on their face. Hoping and praying I'm stuck. Scoping they laying a cut. Weighing my luck. Player haters play this. And sell blocks and rock stages. Winking at some female cops with cock gauges. Really it's papers I'm addicted to. Wasn't for rapping I'll be sticking you. The Mac inside the triple goose. Face down on the floors, the routine. Don't wanna hear nobody blow steam. Just screamer is a smoke screen. Imagine that. That's why I hardly kick the bragger raps. I zone to each his own in this ghetto inhabitant.
Watch some niggas that be close to you. And make sure they do what they supposed to do.